The Morning Invasion with Dex and Steve-O.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
You are now ready to start.
On Star 88.
It's Thursday.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Beautiful morning, isn't it?
Still a bit early.
When are you going to wake up?
Stay calm.
Okay.
You stay here and relax. Mm-hmm. No need for us to freak out.
It's cool, bro. I'm woke.
It's cool, bro. I'm woke.
It's a ridiculous waste of time.
You seem happy this morning.
Yay!
This radio show is beginning to begin at the beginning.
Right here?
Right here.
Right now?
Right now.
Here we go. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Showtime.
Is it Friday?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No, it's not Friday, man.
It's Thursday, guys, and we're live. We're here.
Mm-hmm.
6:07 in the a.m. Dex and Steve-O.
Mm. High today, not very high. 68 and rainy.
Yes.
It was already sprinkling this morning.
Yes, it's been a great week as far as weather. I'm all about it. What's the weekend look like? Gonna be good. Gonna be,
looks gonna like nice it's cool. Gonna stay in the 70s. Tomorrow, high of 65. 72. Sunday, it's supposed to kick back up into the 80s, but we'll see.
Hmm.
But yeah, for the next couple days, expect it to kick it in the 60s. Maybe dip into 70. Can't wait for the rain.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Morning Invasion. 505-585-LIVE.
Mm.
It's our live line. You can text in. It's really easy. Be a part of the show with us. 585-5483. Of course, we would prefer if you would call us 338-3700. And you know what? Shout out to the Starmie because I feel like they've been listening. And
yeah.
We've gotten a lot more phone calls lately.
That's true.
So thank you for that. Sure do appreciate you guys. This morning, Shock Therapy Live with Pastor Nate Heitzik. That starts at
9-ish.
Yeah, that's a good call, right? Yeah, 9-ish. 9-ish.
I've been told by multiple people that I should probably text him at least an hour early to give him a head start. Not going to do it.
Not going to do it, man. He's a great... You know what? He's how old?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, man.
Yeah.
Not going to do it.
He has... What? Doesn't he have people that take care of his schedule
exactly.
For him? Yeah. Come on.
I'm not that people.
Yeah. Last week, he was taking a bath when it was about 9:05.
Yep.
Yep. About 9:05. He's at home taking a bath. Oh. So we didn't get a full hour with him last week. But he says, we'll see what happens. See what happens. It was great. Last week was pretty intense. We talked about some pretty crazy things that we normally don't discuss here on this radio station. And that's what the show's really all about. It's definitely for a mature audience. So just a little warning. I know we have a lot of homeschoolers that listen to the show. But if you're a parent, maybe it is. Maybe you want to sit down with your kids and listen to the show, and you guys can discuss it and listen in, or maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah.
You decide. Let's see. What do we got on the show today besides Shock Therapy Live? I believe some Sagebrushers will be joining us.
Oh, snap!
I'm excited for the Sagebrushers to come in. Because, honestly, we need more of that. We need more churches out there.
Heck yeah.
To come on board and just be a part of the show with us. Whatever you're doing at your church, we want to be involved, man. We want to help you out. We're one church, right? Isn't that how this thing works?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We're one church, all of us. We're in the same family. We invite you. Let us know what's going on, man, and we want to help you out. So we'll talk to some Sagebrushers coming up around 7:30 this morning. They have X Camp going down. And Sagebrush puts on some pretty cool camps. You see those videos? You're like, what? A giant water slide?
Dude.
What? Unicorns? Cotton candy?
Yeah, man. Cotton candy that you get off of the unicorn horn.
Yes. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Helicopter rides? They don't have helicopter rides. Have. No.
Oh, man.
Skydiving? What?
Yeah!
Oh, my gosh. Skydiving? Skydive. Bungee really, jumping?
More like Nerf battles, laser tag, virtual reality, some rug races.
Deep sea diving? What? Sagebrush, just going for it.
They are.
That's great.
It's kind of like the Pope yesterday with the old fidget spinners,
with
man.
With the fidget spinners.
You know, teaching you the Trinity with the fidget spinner.
That was really funny.
Gosh, I loved it.
Yeah, let me kick off the show with a pretty incredible story. It's about fidget spinners.
Oh, good.
If you don't know what a fidget spinner is, it's basically the Trinity. And you hold
there
it in the
three
center.
Sides.
Yeah, you hold it in the center and you spin it. And it's supposed to help.
It makes it look like one being, and yet yeah. It's three in one.
All balanced just perfectly together. But they were created for people that suffer with stress, anxiety,
ADD,
all that. So, and now they're just everywhere. Every kid wants one. Well, this 10-year-old girl, she lives in Houston, Texas. She was in her mom's car on Saturday and decided to clean her fidget spinner by putting it in her mouth.
Oh, no.
I need to just clean this fidget spinner, so I'll just stick it in my mouth and just clean it off. She's 10. And 10-year-olds do stuff like that. My 10-year-old doesn't do stuff like that. Well, one of the little bearings fell off and got lodged in her esophagus.
Oh, no.
She could still breathe, but she was turning red and drooling, so her mom rushed her to the hospital. She needed emergency surgery to have it removed. She's okay, but take this as a warning.
Yeah.
Tell your kid to keep their fidget spinner out of their mouth. Look at the x-ray. See it?
Oh, my gosh.
They have an x-ray, and you can see the fidget spinner in her esophagus. Isn't that crazy?
That's dangerous, man.
So dangerous, guys. That is so dangerous. Just, you know, besides fidget spinners, just, you know, don't put things in your mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, Landon the other day had a bottle cap, and he was just chewing on a bottle cap, and I kept waiting for him to go start choking.
How do you let him do that?
I don't know, man. He's out of control, man. He's, you know, he's 11, and he's just so out of control.
Okay.
He's actually not at all. He's one of the best kids ever.
Yeah.
I really do have the best kids in the world.
I mean,
they're pretty good.
Have you met my kids?
They're pretty good, too.
All three of them had doctor's appointments yesterday. Two of them had to get shots.
Oof.
And apparently the doctors were just stoked on them because they were so chill.
Yeah.
Except Brody kept talking about it last night because he got shots, and it was just, like, traumatic.
Yeah, well, he's four.
Yeah. So it was just like, Daddy? I still hate shots.
Yeah.
Like he's explaining to me. I'm like, I know, buddy. I just don't understand. Like, why did they do that?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Why the needle? I mean, they do the, well, what were the shots for? The flu?
Oh, no. He got like three. Cause he's like the 4 year, it's like at four, you got to get like.
Oh, yeah. Why haven't they? You know, because you could do the nasal spray for the flu stuff.
Not for everything, though.
Why not?
These were like the
why can't they grade
the
something?
Vaccines for crazy stuff. I don't know.
You would think at this point in time, we wouldn't have to stick needles in our bodies.
Man
anymore.
Up, bro. It's just a shot.
Yeah, I'm all about it, but it's just that is the worst thing as a parent when you have to take your little kid or your baby in to get shots, and they look at you.
I'll bet Chrissy had a really hard time with that.
Yeah. No, I was there
busy.
When it happened, man.
I was at the comic shop.
It was awful. Be glad that you weren't there.
No, I've been there plenty of times because back in the day, Rockstar Jack, who is now 13, when he was little, Chrissy took him the first time. I was working or something. And she said, I'm never doing that again. You're taking him from now on. And it was like, okay.
Yeah.
Thinking, sure. Dude. Jack tried like climbing up the wall.
Oh yeah,
I had to like hold him
down.
That's
the way my kids were.
But that's just Jack. Luke, on the other hand, I think because Jack was so crazy, he just sits there.
Yeah,
he got three yesterday, and one of them they called the fire shot because apparently it's pretty gnarly. It was like took it like man. I'm like
they told him it was right. The fire shot before they gave it to him.
I guess it's one of the like most painful ones you can get.
Hey kid. Just to warn you, this is the most painful shot out of all of them. We call it the fire shot, all right? This is going to hurt really bad.
Yeah. And he just took it.
Well, that's Luke.
Yeah. And I guess Brody, and I said, so did you do good? You know, and he's like, I cried.
Oh, Brody.
He was so sad. Oh. He just wanted to hug me the rest of the day. And I was like, it's okay, buddy. It's like trying to explain, like, that the stuff that they put in him is going to keep him safe from all this, and it only hurts for a minute, and yeah.
I can still remember being a kid after getting shots, and I could barely move my arm.
Right.
Because I'd tense up.
Oh, yeah.
And then your just arm hurts for like a week.
So last night, we had to take the Band-Aids off, and Brody was just like, you know, traumatic. So I kind of like peeled the corner away a little bit, and I said, Rocket! And made, you know, and he looks over and I just,
yep.
And he didn't even notice.
Yeah.
Like I ripped it off, and then he like looks back waiting for me to take it off, and it's like, I already took it off.
Yeah.
Like you're okay.
Landon was so dramatic when it came to getting a cut. He couldn't take showers. he'd get a tiny little like scrape. And he would be like, I can't take a shower. It hurts so bad. I can't have water run on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No children.
Seriously. I miss my kids being little.
No. You don't.
At times I do.
At times. You can borrow Brody from time to time.
They're just getting so old so quick. I mean, they're 30, 27, 24 right now. It's crazy. It's nuts. I'm still doing this radio show.
Nuts.
They're doing way more than I ever did. That's all a dad can hope for.
Yeah.
You know? We hope that our kids will do way more than we ever did. Oh, welcome to the show. Hey, let's see. Besides fidget spinners, what else we got on the show today? I got this another epic story on the way about a guy at Walmart who wrangled a runaway deer.
What?
In Walmart.
Yes! That sounds like something that should happen in a Walmart.
Yeah. What is a deer doing in Walmart?
Man.
We'll find out.
All right.
Put that deer in a headlock. And speaking of headlocks, there's an MMA fighter. You might know his name. You're not a huge fan anymore. Conor McGregor.
Ah!
There's some news coming up here.
Yeah, dude.
In just a little bit.
I got some news to share about old Conor.
Oh, Mayweather and Conor. Is it going to happen? I don't know. But I have some things I want to throw at you to see what you have to say about it.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about this.
This just doesn't seem like a very good idea for the UFC and Dana White.
Mm.
But yet, they're green lighting it. So, super.
We'll see.
We'll talk about beauty sleep this morning. CBS, they're launching all their new shows coming up, and we'll talk about that. And there's a new show. It's called By the Book, and it's based on a novel by a man who spent a year trying to follow the Bible as literally as possible. This is a new winter show on CBS.
Really?
Yeah, it's a new mid-season show. It's called By the Book, and it's based off that novel. So we'll talk about that,
man,
in a little bit. I think that's about it, guys.
Okay.
We got a jam-packed show today.
We do.
Jam-packed.
We have depressing news.
We do?
Wake it up to the saddest news of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe not of all time, but.
Yeah, why don't we just talk about that now?
I woke up to this, man, at 3 o'clock.
I saw your Facebook post. That's how I found out.
Really? Yeah. I just couldn't sleep, and I jumped on the old social media, seriously, at like 3 a.m., and Brian Michael Bendis, he's a comic book writer, tweeted it. And I'm like, that can't be real, man. And I jumped on, you know, the old Google and typed in Chris Cornell. And there was only, at that time, there was only one news. I mean, it had just broke.
Man.
Oh, guys, I hate to report this. Breaking news. Soundgarden's Chris Cornell found dead at 52 years old.
At 52 years old?
Ah.
Wow, it sounded like my dad right there.
52. Police in Detroit told Billboard that they are actually investigating Soundgarden Chris Cornell's death as a possible suicide.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
I didn't read that.
It just broke. I'm telling you, breaking news.
Oh.
I'm trying to keep it together, but I'm not going to lie. This dude was one of the most influential voices in my young adult life. Gosh. And not even adult life, just my young life. And I got to take Teo to see them a few years ago, mm-hmm. which makes me happy.
Yeah.
I went and saw Soundgarden and Nine Inch Nails. But seriously, for me, one of the most iconic, one of my favorite dudes. Gosh, man, 52 years old. His body was found unresponsive in his Detroit hotel room early this morning. And Director Michael Woody of the Detroit Police Department's media relations said that the officers received a 911 call right at midnight from an unnamed person at the MGM Grand Casino in downtown Detroit requesting assistance. When the units arrived, they were met by a gentleman who indicated that Chris Cornell had been found in his room. Uh-huh. When officers went to the room, they found him lying in his bathroom, unresponsive. He had passed away. They are investigating it as a possible suicide, but they need to wait on the medical examiner to determine the cause and manner of death. There's a report that police said that Chris Cornell's wife actually called a family friend and asked him to check on the singer's well-being. And when the friend got there, he had to force the door open to the hotel room. And that's when he found Chris on the bathroom floor.
Oh, man.
He played a show last night, man.
I know. I saw somebody on Facebook Live.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it.
At the Fox Theater.
Yeah.
Dude, they played a show last night at the Fox Theater. And what's weird is his tweets in the last couple days have been so hopeful and awesome. And, you know, Detroit finally back to rock. He posted that yesterday, 2 days ago. Much thanks to Kansas City, all of our friends for blowing it out. They posted the set list. He had this really amazing tweet to his wife and to his mother for Mother's Day. And they had just posted this video of like him and Kim Thayil and everybody back in the day, Soundgarden, saying, "What I look forward to the most is the camaraderie. It's what we missed when we weren't a band." Soundgarden, you know, one of the most influential bands during the grunge era, and broke up, took a hiatus, of course. And he went on to do Audio Slave. He did solo work, but really was reinvigorated when Soundgarden got back together,
mm-hmm.
brought it all back. And I'm telling you, man,
that's just
one of the very most influential bands in my life. So
very sad.
Yeah. Sorry to report that, man. Sorry to break that news. I always assumed that I would have to break Scott Weiland.
I know,
and that
right?
broke my heart, but differently. You know what I mean? Because it was like, well, he was always involved in drugs. Exactly. This is sudden. This is unexpected. The family asked for privacy at this time as they try and determine the cause. I'm really hoping it doesn't come to be suicide, man.
Guys, we always say it. If you're out there listening, you need somebody, we're always here for you, no matter what. We won't put you on the air. You can reach out to us, 505-585-LIVE. You can hit us up on Facebook or Instagram.
Yeah.
We're always here, you know?
Yeah, man. But it is sudden and shocking news, and so nobody was expecting that. So,
ugh.
Yeah. Somebody said, obviously, people our age know Chris Cornell. But do people under 35 know who he is?
Yeah, I posted it on Facebook, and there was a few people that had no idea who that was.
What?
Yeah.
Dude, it's Soundgarden, man.
Shocking. All right, we got to take a break.
Yeah.
It's Thursday. It's beautiful outside right now. And I'm not talking it's sunny and warm. I'm talking it's going to rain and it's cool.
Yeah, it is.
Headlines, and we'll check the roads. Good morning, Stone. We'll be right back.
today. President Trump delivering his commencement address to graduates of the Coast Guard Academy in New London, Connecticut.
Starting today, I hope you feel the full gratitude of our nation.
Gisele Bündchen tells CBS This Morning her husband Tom Brady played while he had a concussion last season as he led the Patriots to a fifth Super Bowl title.
He had a concussion last year.
Late night comedian Jimmy Kimmel is returning to host the Academy Awards next year.
Chelsea Manning has been released from prison in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas.
North Carolina Senator Tom Tillis collapsed during a D.C. three-mile race.
J.W. Boy Ledford Jr. put to death in northwest Georgia.
More than two dozen reports of tornadoes.
A study found 38 million pieces of trash, mostly plastic, have washed onto Henderson Island, the highest density of trash ever recorded.
A new estimate for the biting strength of Tyrannosaurus Rex.
8,000 pounds of force.
The monument to Confederate General P.G.T. Beauregard was taken down, a victory for people who say it paid homage to slavery and segregation.
It is 6:33.
High today of 68 degrees. Traffic! Sorry, dude. I'm so, like, just...
Yeah, you're going to have a tough time over there.
Taking a look at the roads. Oh, no. There was a water valve break that they're currently repairing. Lead Avenue West between Bryn Mawr and Girard. Slowing everything down. What stinks is there's also some crazy construction right in that area. The two right lanes are closed. Central Avenue East at San Mateo. Central between University and Yale. Construction closing stuff down. So be careful. Let's see a look at traffic. This traffic update brought to you by Bear Canyon CrossFit. Located at 9533 Osuna, Suite B. BearCanyonCrossFit.com or 505-293-2101. That's 505-293-2101. Thanks again to Bear Canyon CrossFit for this traffic update.
If you haven't heard, Chris Cornell passed away, 52 years old. He was the front man for Soundgarden, Audioslave, and they haven't said exactly what happened, but there's reports that it could have been a suicide.
So. That's, yeah, they're investigating it as a possible suicide.
That's very sad. 52 years old. Just left the family behind, you know?
Yeah, dude.
How many kids did he have?
It's a good question.
Say? And he was married, right?
Yeah. Yeah, man. I'm sure I can find that information. A lot of musicians coming out of the woodwork right now.
I thought you were going to say a lot of kids. A
lot of kids, bro. So many.
Yeah, he had a lot of kids.
No. Dude, Jimmy Page posted a tribute this morning for the younger kid. He was part of this band called Led Zeppelin. They were kind of a big deal.
Oh.
Gavin Rosdell, lead singer and guitar player from Bush, said, I'm so saddened by Chris Cornell passing. Total shock. Great man, great band, great loss. Love to everyone in his world. Sebastian Bach, Dave Navarro, Foster the People, Ryan Mendez, Richard Marx. Dude, yeah. People are coming out of the woodwork just to...
We see it all the time with celebrities. We see it all the time. You know, you think you, once you reach the fame and fortune, that life's going to be great, and it's just not the case, you know?
Yeah.
You never know what's going on with somebody. You just never know. That's why you should always, always be on the lookout. Just look for those signs, man. If you have a friend or somebody at school, maybe they're depressed or they're, maybe they're angry, whatever it is. You should be looking for those signs and do what you can to help them out, you know?
Yeah. So here's some interesting things, man. So he has a pair of children, Lily and Jean, and a son, Christopher Nicholas. And actually, when he married Vicky, a Paris-based American publicist, she's of Greek heritage. He actually converted to the Greek Orthodox Church through her influence. And in the last record, that Soundgarden put out, I was wondering because there was so much in there. In fact, when this station used to be called Static Radio, we played a Soundgarden song because it was really like, man, is this a quote Christian influence track? Like, it was very obvious, you know?
Mm.
And so, yeah, man, he battled addiction most of his life, but he did get sober. He said, in fact, a quote back in, 2011, going through rehab, it helped. It got him away from the daily drudgery of depression, either trying not to drink or do drugs or doing them. And, then you give such a simple message that any idiot can get. And it's just over and over. But the bottom line really is, this is a part that's scary for everyone. The individual kind of has to want it. Not kind of. You have to want it not to do that crap anymore, or you will never stop, and it will just kill you. Mm. End quote.
Yeah.
So, however, in a 2011 interview, he was talking about the major change with the reformed Soundgarden was the lack of that on tour. So the biggest difference he noticed is that we haven't even really talked about it. There are no bottles of Jack Daniels around. There's no beer. And we never even talked about it. It's just not there. It's not something that, was part of that band life.
Yeah.
When they revived, if you will. And so, yeah, they released a record in 2015 called Higher Truth. And it just resonated differently because back in the 90s, of course, you had, Higher Truth was a solo release. Back in the 90s, his Soundgarden was definitely more of a, I think of like Bad Motor Finger from 91. And then, of course, dude, Super Unknown, which to me is still one of the greatest albums of all time. They were heavy. They were pretty dark, you mm-hmm. know? And you hear it with like the newer stuff, Animal Kingdom, which came out in 2012, Soundgarden, and then his solo project, Higher Truth. It was just deeper. Maybe not deeper. It was just coming from a different place, more hopeful, which is why it's so interesting, because the last few days his tweets have been very hopeful. So
yeah, but you know how that works.
Yeah, exactly. They're investigating it as a possible suicide, but there's nothing on it yet, so we don't know. Do not play Soundgarden. I will probably actually cry.
I'm going hungry.
This is Temple of the Dog, though, so. I listen to Super Unknown all the way here. Somebody did make a comment this morning like, look, I hate to idolize celebrity. I actually cried when I heard the news. Dude, I cried this morning.
Yeah.
It's okay to mourn the loss of somebody that was influential in your life. It doesn't mean that you've placed them on this pedestal or that you're idolizing someone. But if there's a person of influence in your life, no matter if it was musically, artistically, or a relative, do you know what I mean? Like, It's okay to mourn the loss because death sucks, man, And so don't beat yourself up too much for that, because we actually had a couple comments this morning about that, how, yeah. They felt bad because they cried, and it's like, dude, it's okay to mourn that. That's not...
Yeah.
You're not idolizing them in that regard.
Yeah, especially...
A human being died, man.
I get it. I understand if you're crying... I mean, it's one of those situations where you could look at it and go, why are you crying? You didn't know him. Why are you crying? But then... If his music had that big of impact on you, I totally get it. I totally understand.
Yeah.
Because you feel like you're a part of, whatever he created that music, And
right.
so whatever you were at during that time and whatever that music had done for you. I mean, you look at these artists and you go, man, thank you for what you did, because you got me through whatever, I was going through. Or
yeah. Yeah, for those that grew up in that time period, there were so many bands that came about, but few bands greater, honestly, in the 90s than Soundgarden. I think of Nirvana and Pearl Jam. Soundgarden is on that list of the most influential bands that changed the landscape.
Sugar Ray. What about Sugar Ray?
I'm going to punch you in the teeth. That just changed the landscape of music.
Smash
because at
Mouth.
The time, like... I hate you.
You're forgetting about a lot of these bands. Mighty Mighty Boss Tones.
Hey, whoa, watch your mouth. I love the Boss Tones.
Goldfinger.
They're actually, dude, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Not as influential as Soundgarden, however.
Chumbawamba. You're laughing it up, man. But man, those were pretty big bands.
No, dude.
In the 90s, they were.
So back in the 90s, children, there was this movement a music revolution, if you will, called grunge that really changed a lot. For me, there's nothing bigger than Smells Like Teen Spirit. You know, Nirvana Nevermind, I think, was that album. But Pearl Jam and Soundgarden, I think, are right there on the list of changing that landscape, being part of that Seattle scene. And man, so yeah, Chris Cornell, frontman of Soundgarden, sadly was found dead in his hotel room early this morning. It is sudden. It's unexpected. The singer's family is working closely with the medical examiner to determine the cause. Detroit police are investigating it as a possible suicide, but it's way too early to tell the cause of his death. So, because he had been clean and sober. So it's going to be really tragic. Dude, I really hope that it doesn't come to that, something like that. Like Bradley Knoll, the lead singer of Sublime, he was clean and sober.
Yeah.
He had a daughter, got married, like, yes, get back on doing it. And then one time is all it took.
Because they go back and they try to do the same amount of whatever drug they're doing, whether it's heroin or cocaine, whatever it is, they go back to thinking they can inject the same amount of heroin and their body can't handle it.
Overdose. So he struggled with drug use throughout his entire life, but I believe in 2011, he was clean and sober, man. And man. So, yeah, Chris Cornell.
A lot of people, too, that have been on drugs forever. I mean, they deal with depression. I mean, it's a mountain that you're climbing constantly. Once you are off those drugs, man, it's a battle every day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's one of those things. We just don't know what it was like for him, you know?
Right.
Maybe he was just done.
Someone said on the live line, shout out to the Starmy, by the way. There are some artists who actually become part of the fabric of our lives. I remember when Prince died, I felt like a puzzle piece of my life had been stolen away from me. And it's very sad about Chris.
Yep.
Somebody mentioned the Boston's going to be up in Denver in August. They're actually going to be here in June. Did
no
you
way.
See this? Well, I'm not going to lie. I was a little sad, dude. We're going to be out at Harvest America.
Where are they playing at?
They're playing here for Summerfest for free.
Oh,
they're
really?
Headlining Summerfest in Albuquerque. I don't know who's booking Summerfest, but dude, good job.
Wow.
The Boston's are headlining our Summerfest here in Albuquerque, and we're going to be in Phoenix.
They're a fun band to watch.
They are. I saw them with the Offspring back in the day.
Yeah?
Offspring Boston's. And that was when, yeah.
Is that Warped Tour?
No. No, it was at the Convention Center.
Was that 90s?
Yeah, of course, dude.
Well, I wasn't here in the
90s. I saw the Boston's and the Offspring.
Yeah, but you got to think early 2000s, they were doing it still, you know?
Yeah.
Because I think I saw both those bands in the 90s and in the 2000s because of Warped Tour and everything.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
My bad, bro.
It's okay. It's all right.
I'm mourning, dude.
It's
okay. I'm grieving.
It's all right.
Just got to cut me some slack.
I wait for you.
Stop talking. All right, moving on.
Can I tell you the truth?
What?
I have never been... I'm not going
to
say it.
If you're about to say you've never been a Soundgarden fan, I will fight you to the death.
I'm just not going
to
say it.
Okay, good. Because if that's the words that were coming out of your mouth, I don't want to hear it. You're a dumb.
I know. I'll stop myself.
That's okay. Hey, you know what?
Just wasn't my thing, man.
Teo said the same thing, and then I think it was 2012. When was it? A couple years ago. Soundgarden toured with Nine Inch Nails, and I said, Teo, you're going with me. And he was absolutely blown away by how good Soundgarden was.
Well, I give
Chris Cornell.
I give him so much respect.
Was one of the greatest, greatest voices.
Yeah,
dude, the octave, his range,
and
he's still, just a couple years ago, was seeing him live, still just crushed the vocals, man.
For me though, it just didn't do anything for me. It was always depressing. Soundgarden to me was kind of always depressing to listen to, so I never got into them. And then, of course, being in radio in the 90s, I was constantly playing Soundgarden on the radio, and I just kind of got burnt out.
Okay.
So, but I absolutely, I agree. He is a legend. Soundgarden is, that is one of those bands that live on.
Liveline's freaking out, so I'm going to start with this news. Yes, guys, there are free events here in our city. Sometimes Albuquerque does cool things. The Heights Summerfest is going down Saturday, June 10th at North Domingo Baca Park from 5 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. And they do this, what, four times throughout the summer? Yeah. Summerfest in different locations. So this is the Heights Summerfest, and they've got a few bands kicking it off, but the national headliner that night, the Mighty Mighty Boston's! Are you kidding me?
And we won't be here!
Yeah. I was just listening to Let's Face It this week. Such a great record.
Yeah, Dickie Barrett was one of the very first people I interviewed.
Dude.
Was at the Warped Tour in 98. Yeah, really cool.
Yeah, did he talk like him? Uh-huh. Just, hey, man.
Yeah, good dude.
There you go. Yeah, there's going to be kids' activities. Dude, free stuff. Get your face painted. 25-foot rock climbing wall.
That's cool.
All jumpers, all that stuff. Boston's take the stage at 9 p.m. Thank you, Albuquerque. Thank you, Albuquerque.
Good job.
There's also the Route 66 Summerfest, Downtown Summerfest, and Westside Summerfest. Seriously. They do four every summer here in Albuquerque. And they bring out different headliners. I don't believe they... Oh, they did announce the headliners. Chubby Checker is headlining the Westside Summerfest.
He's still alive?
Yeah, dude. Come on, man.
He's pretty old.
Dennis DeYoung, the lead singer of Styx, is headlining Downtown Summerfest.
Wow.
Styx, man! Yeah, Styx is doing the Downtown Summerfest. That's hilarious. Let's see, the Route 66 Summerfest, which is the one that goes down in Nob Hill, is going to be headlined by Los Lobos.
Oh, that's a cool band.
Yeah.
Albuquerque loves them.
Heck yeah, bro. So there you go. There's nice. Your Summerfests.
Good.
But dude, the Boston's. The Boston's, and we're going to be in Phoenix. Moving on to other big events, UFC lightweight champion Conor McGregor says he has officially signed a record-breaking deal to fight Floyd Mayweather Jr.
Come on now.
Now he says it's up to Mayweather to do the same to make the mega fight happen. He didn't specify the terms of the deal he signed. Dana White added the much-anticipated bout would be straight-up boxing.
Yeah.
Earlier Wednesday, Mayweather said he was awaiting information from Dana White and Conor McGregor. Quote, I'm not here to throw anyone under the bus, and I can't sit here and say they are waiting on us, Mayweather said in London. I'm not saying that. And we're not waiting on them. I have a team for negotiating, but as soon as their side, UFC, communicates with our side, the fight will happen, end quote. There's no deadlines established for the fight to come together, but people in the boxing world, people in the UFC world, and just people that enjoy punching things are really excited if this actually comes together. Conor McGregor is one of the biggest names in the UFC, and Floyd Mayweather, obviously, is the biggest name.
That's what I wanted to ask you about, because I don't understand what Dana White's doing. I almost feel like he is kind of throwing him into retirement.
Throwing Conor into retirement?
Think about it, man. He won't have to fight again if this happens. He'll make so much money.
Yeah, there are rumors that he was... You know, $75 million, I think, was one of the rumors.
Yeah.
That's just what Conor would make.
This is, I almost guarantee you that the deal that Dana White probably made with Conor is, listen, I'll allow this to happen. I'll give you my blessing, but you owe me four or five fights.
Right.
Yeah. You cannot retire because that's the only thing I don't understand is like, why would you do this? Because he doesn't want to fight.
Yeah. But
nobody wants to fight.
He's still under contract with the UFC. And I totally disagree with that second statement.
I don't know. I don't think fighters.
Can we just
most
call,
fighters don't
Can we just
fight.
Call Diego right now?
Okay.
I seriously ran into him over the weekend at Toys R Us with the fam, and we were chatting.
Listen, I think there's a
he
small
will fight
percentage.
Until he's 73 years old.
There's a small percentage of fighters that
you don't think Conor's one of those dudes that wants to fight? Are you kidding me?
I don't.
Oh man,
he's all about the money, and once he makes his paycheck, because that's the thing. I would imagine that most fighters don't want to get hit in the head. They don't want to get punched in the face. Nobody likes that.
There are so many fighters that have that are brash enough to think they won't get hit in the head. I'm just going to knock him out.
Yeah.
I'm not wrong.
I don't know.
Man, can we just here?
You have to
here's
be a
my
complete
cell phone.
Idiot.
Should we just call Diego right now?
I'm not going to get hit in the head.
Should we call?
That means you've been
John
hit
Dodson
in the head
right now
too many times. Oh, I've talked to John and all those guys about it, and there's no doubt about it that
they have a passion.
None of them like to get hit in the face because
nobody likes to get in the face.
That's my whole point. So why would you want to do something like this?
Because you're a fighter, bro. Yeah. You're a warrior.
Sorry, man. Don't agree with that.
In fact, that's what Floyd Mayweather said. There's only one fight that makes business sense. I came out of retirement because I'm a businessman. I want to give the world what they want to see. McGregor's a fighter. I'm a fighter. And this is the what fight fans and MMA fans want to see.
Yeah, and here they're all talk. Of course, I'm a fighter. But when you boil it down, when you really break it down, most fighters, if they got a $75 million paycheck, they wouldn't jump into the cage again and fight.
I disagree.
I don't know, man.
Disagree, bro. No. You just don't have that lion heart within you.
Yeah, I don't.
Obviously.
I don't want to get punched in the face. I know what it feels like, and it doesn't feel good.
Nobody wants to get punched in the face.
I don't want concussions.
If you're confident.
I don't want to be drooling when I'm 50.
You're not going to get punched in the face,
I don't want to poop my pants when I'm 50. Nobody wants that. And fighters are realizing, hey, I can't do this very, very much longer. I'm 30 years old, and if I get hit in the head a few more times, I'm knocking years off of my life. Every time a fighter gets in the octagon, man, they are shaving years off their life. That's a tough business to be in.
Yeah.
I'm not saying all fighters are like that, but I'm saying I think most fighters, if they got paid, they wouldn't go back.
Remember the Starman said, whatever, the UFC is going to get money from this deal as well.
You know,
he's under contract with the UFC. He couldn't fight without them letting him. They're going to get a cut. And if anything, this is just going to boost it. Because what happens if Conor wins this fight?
There's no way he
wins. What happens if Conor wins this fight? Are you kidding me? You don't think Dana's already thought about like the next five fights that's going to make him $1 trillion?
Yeah. Even if Conor loses, which he will, this will up Conor's cred even more, make him even more popular. It doesn't even matter. That's
what's
crazy
about it. But Conor doesn't want to just be in a fight with Floyd Mayweather. He believes he's going to knock him out.
I don't think he does.
Oh, I hope he does.
He doesn't.
Oh, I'm rooting for him so hard.
I am too. I kind of hope he wins, but there's no way.
Remember the Starman said, Conor wants to beat the best in boxing, that's why, so he can be the champion. And that's it. Like, it's not the money, it's that he's always talked about that. The best of the best. I'm the best. I'm gonna hold the belt in seven different weight classes.
Oh, and Conor too. He was a pro amateur boxer for a lot of years before he got into the UFC. So he's a boxer.
But I mean, there's a big difference between being like, oh, I was Golden Gloves in high school, and Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah. Floyd Mayweather is one of those fighters. This is Floyd Mayweather, if you don't know. He has so much money, he just like throws it at people and like burns it in front of people. He does crazy things with money. But he is such a, like, his mentality, his heart is truly a fighter, because he'll tell his friends, here, take my Rolls Royce. They'll be downtown Las Vegas partying at the nightclub.
Yeah.
He'll tell his friends, hey, take my Rolls. He'll run down the strip 20 miles, then hit the gym for another 3 hours. That's the dedication this guy has. He just, like, when he's preparing for a fight, oh my, it's like Rocky full on. Like, the guy, he's the best because, you know, he trains all the time. He's constantly
be the
training.
Best, you got to beat the best.
Ric Flair's not going to do it.
To be the man,
Conor's not going to
do gotta it. You got to beat the man. He's going to beat him.
Yeah.
What if he does?
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. I'm rooting for him. CBS unveiled their schedule for the upcoming TV season yesterday. Why do they do this? Every day I've been breaking this because it's like, oh, well, ABC announced theirs today. Wouldn't you want to be the last one so you could be like, what up now?
Yeah, right?
You got this, but we got this. CBS said six of their new shows premiering this fall, although Thursday Night Football will delay some of them until November. CBS getting some backlash for their lack of diversity, although they were also criticized last year, and it worked out okay for them, so they don't care because they're like, ha, check this out, 17 new NCIS shows. I'm just kidding. That's not happening.
Yeah.
Last year, they launched six new shows in the fall that featured white male leads. This fall, five shows, and one led by Shamar Moore.
Shamar Moore?
That's Criminal Minds. Where reporters asked if they were concerned by the lack of women. They're not. A CBS suit said, quote, well, more women watch CBS percentage-wise than any other network, so our shows have a lot of female appeal, end quote. Well, here's their new highlights. There's a new sitcom called Me, Myself, and I, which simultaneously follows a man's life at three different ages.
Okay.
This Is Us much? As a 63-year-old, as a 40-year-old, and as a 14-year-old, John Larroquette plays him as the old man. Bobby Moynihan from Saturday Night Live is him at middle age. The child actor isn't anybody you'd know. By the way, that means Bobby Moynihan is leaving SNL.
Okay.
He announced
watch.
That he's...
I don't care.
What?
I don't watch.
He's been a cast member for like 9 years, man.
Yeah, but I don't care. I don't watch.
Yeah, he announced he's leaving SNL to do this show. There's also a military drama called SEAL Team.
Nice, I like that.
A reboot of the 70s cop drama SWAT. High-tech crime drama called Wisdom of the Crowd.
Oh, this next one here. Have you seen the trailer yet to Star Trek?
And Star Trek Discovery. No!
Man!
Oh, Sasha from The Walking Dead.
She's like the main actor in it.
Well, that's why, you know, you knew it. I mean,
when we come back, let's talk about that other By the Book. CBS is launching this new show called By the Book.
Yeah, dude.
We'll talk about
this on the way back.
585 Live, if you want to text in. Good morning, Starmie. Hang out with us. We'll be right back. That's our boy, Stephen Christian. Gloria, he might be stopping in this morning. I told him, hey, get your butt in here so you can talk about your little concert that you were involved in down in Los Angeles with Jack Black and cast from Stranger Things.
Weird Al.
Man.
Yeah.
It looked like so much fun. Can't wait to hear all about it. Welcome to the show, everybody. It is Thursday, 7:12.
High today of 60 degrees.
You all right?
No, I'm talking to my boy Phoenix about the passing of Chris Cornell. And
is he pretty heartbroken?
He's feeling broken for me. He said,
"Yeah."
Yeah, the grunge movement, man. It was a very deadly movement, unfortunately. A lot of people.
Yep.
Kurt Cobain, Layne Staley, Scott Weiland. And then you think of other people that were taken from heroin in the 90s, like Shannon Hoon from Blind Melon, Bradley Nowell, Sublime.
Who was the Silverchair guy?
What?
Silverchair. Who was it?
No!
Didn't he die of an overdose?
No!
Oh, okay. What about Candlebox? Did that guy die?
Just go away. We interviewed him a couple years ago.
Oh, that's right. My bad.
Traffic! God!
Just trying to lighten the air in here.
Just lighten it up by talking about other celebrity deaths that didn't happen? Gosh! Literally the worst, man. Literally the worst. There's an accident, Rio Bravo Boulevard at Broadway. Just reported about 5 minutes ago. So I don't have much more information than that, but Rio Bravo Boulevard right at Broadway. There's an accident reported there, so of course it is slow going. Everything else looking pretty clear today. They were fixing a water valve. It's happening at Lead Avenue West between Bryn Mawr and Girard, so the right lane is closed there. Other than that, it's all free and clear. That's your look at traffic. Traffic!
Guys, we'll be out in Phoenix on June 11th. University Phoenix of Phoenix Stadium. That's where we'll be. We're going to be doing the pre-show for Harvest America.
Mm.
And there's going to be a lot of great artists hanging out there. And with us during the pre-show, Phil Wickham, Need to Breathe, Mercy Me. Of course, Greg Laurie will be there with a message. Trip Lee. HarvestAmerica.com for all the details. If you live out in the area, you should totally make plans to come and hang with us. I've heard of Harvest America for quite a few years now, and I'm excited I get to be a part of it, you know? I was talking to Mr. Laurie the other day.
You were not talking to Greg Laurie the other day.
He said that he's excited to have us out. Okay, okay. You're right. He hasn't responded to my letter yet. But yeah, if you can't make it either, we'll be doing the pre-show, and you'll be able to hear it right here on Star 88. You'll be able to hear the pre-show. You'll be able to hear just everything that's going on, all the music, the message from Greg Laurie. It'll be great.
Dude, lots of shout-outs this morning on the live line, 585 Live, if you'd like to chime in. Somebody just chimed in and said, can I please give a shout-out to Bernalillo High School graduation class of 2017? Michael Candelaria, especially, he's been through so much, and his mom is so proud of him. Wish she was here to celebrate with him. Okay.
Oh. Man.
Got another shout out from Brooklyn, New York that says, Dex, don't speak that evil over Silverchair. I will fly to Albuquerque and smite thee. Seriously, if anything happens to Danny J now, I will hurt you.
My bad. Sorry.
Gosh, Dex. Dude, are you kidding me?
Sorry.
Oh, that's another. Dude, Frog Stomp on vinyl? And yes, I know, Brandon, you're going to come back with like the other record that I didn't listen to. It's like Diorama, Diagram of a Rama. I just like Frog Stomp, man.
Okay.
Give me my Frog Stomp.
All right.
Diagram 380. Was way off.
Shout out to our girl Tam up in Colorado.
Theater of Dreams.
Wow, 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 wow.
Yeah.
Well, what does he say? And hi to Dunning Idol.
What did? Oh, she wanted a shout out?
Yeah. Say hi to me and Colorado.
Yeah. Hi to Dunning Idol, graduating from the Air Force, from Air Force High School.
Hmm.
Okay.
Right on, man.
Oh, the sixth. Dunning Idol, the
blah,
sixth.
Blah, 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 blah.
Thanks, Tim.
Yeah.
She's great.
Tamara, everyone.
Tamara. Okay. All right. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Oh,
hey, Bill.
Bill.
How are you?
Good. How are my two favorite yin yang?
It's been a tough morning.
It has, man.
Well, I got a legitimate serious question. It was one of those that come to you while you're taking a shower, you know, shower thoughts kind of thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And this has absolutely nothing to do with anything that you guys have been talking about so far this morning. Are you okay with that?
I mean, I guess so.
I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm ready.
And this is totally serious. And think about it before you answer. Okay. Will there be bathrooms in heaven?
No, dude.
I know. I've had this conversation before. I think if you're a guy, you have this conversation.
I've never had this conversation.
What?
Why would you have this conversation?
Are you a girl?
This is the stupidest conversation.
You are a girl.
You guys
it's
think.
Not stupid. You guys, don't poo-poo this. No
don't poo-poo
intended.
This. That was good, Bill. That was good. Yeah, that's a great question, and I'm going to say no.
I mean, it's not like you need to take a shower.
Well, right, because aren't we supposed to have, like, new bodies and everything, like Superman bodies?
Superman
right?
bodies?
Yeah, man.
But we're made in his image. And is that because of fallen nature that we have to go to the potty to take a shower, to shave?
Well, yeah.
To take care of our armpits? You know, is that fallen man? Or is that... this is a legitimate question.
Well, you know, we have this little show called Shock Therapy Live.
Yeah, maybe we'll give this one to Nate because this is the dumbest question.
It's not a dumb question. I think all guys except Steve-O have had this conversation before. It's a great question, Bill.
Okay, thank you. I love you. Bye.
Love you.
No, come on.
Love that guy. Love him. It's a great question.
No, it is not. Why would we have to do that?
Well, what do you, just real quick, what do you think?
No,
of course not.
No.
You don't want to talk about it, or no, we won't have to go to the bathroom?
No.
I don't understand.
Why would we have to?
That's my question to Bill.
Oh, man.
Won't have to.
Gotta be the dumbest question.
It's not a dumb question. There's no such thing.
So, you know, we've been talking about Chris Cornell passing away. Well, for those that didn't know Chris Cornell, because he was 52, he's a ginormous part of the grunge movement. Maybe for Bill's generation, this will hit harder. Roger Ailes, he built Fox News into the empire that it is, passed away.
Wow.
77 years old. He was the chief of Fox News who basically built the network into this ginormous conservative empire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was pushed out last summer. He died this morning. Yeah.
Wow.
77 years old.
Back to Chris Cornell.
Okay.
Okay. No.
Remember the Starman said, whatever, Steve-O, we have all thought about it. I've literally never, ever, ever, ever... ever had that thought. Like,
unbelievable.
I wonder if we're going to have to tinkle in heaven. Is that why the streets are paved in gold? No, dude. I've never, ever, ever thought that.
Is it because you always just knew that we won't have to?
Sure. I don't know.
It's never crossed.
Never.
Never crossed your mind.
Never.
Huh. That blows me away.
I have questioned whether or not we'll be nude.
It's another great question. I actually thought about that the other day.
Because in the garden, Adam and Eve, in their perfected state, totally nude, didn't care.
Yeah, and if we have new bodies, we're all going to look so good.
You know, and they eat the apple, and it was like, no, wait, clothes.
Yep.
So will we care?
I don't know, man.
You look amazing. Your hair rocks.
Yeah, bro. Thank you.
Yeah, we're going to look so good that nobody's going to care. We're not going to.
Right.
I don't know, man. That's a good question.
I mean, that's the real question.
You know what? I'm going to say no clothes, man.
Somebody said, well, then will we need haircuts? Because hair is technically waste as well.
Huh. Are we all going to be bald? Maybe everybody will be bald. Lord,
now
please.
Now it's starting to sound a little cultish
Lord,
and weird.
Lord, please,
I don't like
no.
This. I don't like this
You
at
know,
all.
Man, when we get to heaven, we're going to run into each other, and I'm going to have Michael Bolton Kenny G hair. I mean, just beautiful, just permed out, just boom. And I'm just going to be twirling it and just flipping it and just putting it in a bun and just like, look at my hair, guys.
Somebody said, wait, is there no food in heaven?
Oh, there's food, and we're going to eat and eat and eat.
By the way, somebody said, I'm with Steve-O. I've never thought of it. Crazy. Somebody else said, you are not alone. I've never thought of bathrooms.
But now that you've thought about it, it's
a
good
Steve-O.
Question.
I've never thought of that question. Thank you, Dougie Doug. Somebody said, we will be clothed in robes of righteousness.
See, the whole robe thing, I don't know.
Stop.
I'm honestly not into the whole robe thing. I'm going to be pretty bummed out if we get there and everybody's in a robe. Not going to lie. I'm going to be bummed out.
What if we will be romped in righteousness?
Okay,
and we're all wearing
I can get
rompers.
Down with that. Heck yeah. I can get down with the rompins.
You might be the healthiest human being we've ever seen.
I know. It's true.
I'm going to joke. Oh, man.
Just rompers. Everybody's wearing
Everybody's
rompers.
Sporting
everywhere.
A romper.
Onesies and rompers.
Because you can, because you won't be freaked out about how you're going to get that off in the bathroom because
right.
There's no bathroom.
No bathroom, man. Never have to take that romper off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Those are all great questions. We'll throw them at Pastor Nate Heitzig, 9 o'clock. Shock Therapy Live kicks off. If you have questions, anything, just shoot them over to us. You can text them in, 585-LIVE. You can email studio@star88.fm. Of course, we have Facebook, Instagram. Send your questions in, and we're gonna see what Nate has to say about it.
Dude, coming up, we've got some friends from Sagebrush joining us, which I'm really excited about.
Yeah, we should probably go to break.
Okay.
Are they here?
Yeah.
Good.
Believe. Sorry, Pat. Pat in Las Cruces said, I've never thought about it, but now I can't stop thinking about it.
See, there you go. It's a great right. question.
Well, no, somebody said, wait, if you eat, you got to go to the bathroom. But somebody else chimed in,
Brooklyn shout out,
who said, wait, if the food and drink is so supremely amazing, what if our bodies just absorb 100% of it into efficient energy because it's going to be perfect food?
Those are all great questions, man.
This is stupid. I can't wait to move on to X Camp and Sagebrush.
Yep. Justin and Renee from Sagebrush will be joining us when we come back.
I think it's Desiree.
It says Renee.
I'm pretty sure it's Desiree, though.
Okay.
My sources tell me.
All right.
Okay.
Cool.
Hey! What's going on in the news today?
President Trump delivering his commencement address to graduates of the Coast Guard Academy in New London, Connecticut.
Starting today, I hope you feel the full gratitude of our nation.
Gisele Bündchen tells CBS This Morning her husband Tom Brady played while he had a concussion last season as he led the Patriots to a fifth Super Bowl title.
He had a concussion last year.
Late night comedian Jimmy Kimmel is returning to host the Academy Awards next year.
Chelsea Manning has been released from prison in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas.
North Carolina Senator Tom Tillis collapsed during a D.C. three-mile race.
J.W. Boy Ledford Jr. put to death in northwest Georgia.
More than two dozen reports of tornadoes.
A study found 38 million pieces of trash, mostly plastic, have washed onto Henderson Island, the highest density of trash ever recorded.
A new estimate for the biting strength of Tyrannosaurus Rex.
8,000 pounds of force.
A monument to Confederate General P.G.T. Beauregard was taken down, a victory for people who say it paid homage to slavery and segregation.
It is 7:33. Good morning.
High today of 68 degrees.
Traffic!
Taking a look at the roads, that accident, Rio Bravo Boulevard at Broadway, still an issue, so slow going there. Thankfully, no other accidents on the roads this morning. Looking pretty clear on I-25 and I-40. Yeah, getting the normal commuters heading out now. So starting to slow a little, but traffic's still rolling smoothly, which is good. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic!
Gotta tell you, I'm a huge fan of sagebrush. I was a brusher for many years.
A brusher?
That's what they call them, brushers.
Todd was my youth pastor.
I know.
Bro.
Yeah.
I've known Todd for
You want to tell that
ever.
Story?
Which one? There's so many.
That's true.
The time that I was in his office in trouble for... Never mind.
By the way, Renee and Justin from Sagebrush, they're brushers. You don't call it... I'm sorry.
Nobody
that was stupid.
Calls Nobody, themselves brushers.
You guys don't call each other brushers.
Do you guys
brushers.
Call yourselves brushers?
No, not
Has
really.
Anybody
no.
ever said that before?
First one.
You're
you guys are the first.
Gosh. No, me. Don't say you guys. Don't me. Let me in with him.
That was me.
I didn't call anybody a brusher.
Todd's never said it. I've never heard him say it.
Maybe we could talk to Todd. We'll just tell him to make that a
brushers.
New thing. That's going to be the new
yeah,
Jesus
like
Fish logo.
Brushers. You know, because
S.
you're like brushing. Okay. You're brushing. help me here. You're
nope.
brushing. How do
nope.
we How do we? Turn
Nobody's
this
helping
into
you. You're drowning.
Brushing
you're drowning.
Your love.
So X okay. Camp.
All right.
So,
yeah.
You guys are here because something amazing going down this summer. Let's talk about X Camp and what you guys are doing. Yeah. Who's starting?
X Camp's coming up. It's June 6th, 7th, and 8th. Three-day right. camp. It's going to be... We're trying to make it the best 3 days of some of the kids' summer, where they get to come in, have a blast. They're going to get some fun giveaways, get to see some really cool acts, and just have a great time for 3 days.
Speaking of giveaways, they brought us fidget spinners this morning.
I know, right? I'm pretty stoked.
Oh, my gosh. My son is going to lose his mind.
Wait, why son? They got them for us. This
well,
is mine.
Are
you
he's going to lose his mind because he's going to think,
like
he's gonna think that I'm going to give it to him, and I'm not. I'm just going to spin it in his face.
Yeah.
Check out my fidget spinner.
You could send him to camp because every kid that comes to X Camp is getting their own fidget spinner.
Boom!
Year, so.
Every kid just lost their mind.
Right. But, now everybody's yeah. they're going. And check this out. Starmie, all of our members of the Starmie, I posted this on our Facebook page. Facebook.com/star88fm. If you get over there to register, use the coupon code all caps star88. You save $15. The promo is only good for today for our Starmie members, which is really cool. So thank you guys for allowing us to bless our Starmie members because we do love them. So, but talk about the 3 days. So you mentioned Axe. What all is going on with X Camp? Are you allowed to talk about stuff like that yet?
Yeah, we'll give you a little couple of hints.
Little tease? Okay.
So one of the acts we have coming is called, they're a trampoline act, and they have a big wall that they do stunts off of.
Shut up.
So we're going to put a huge tent in the parking lot and let them do their performance for the kids.
Wow. Okay.
They get a front row seat where usually they'll see it at the halftime of NFL or NBA shows.
Wow.
Kids will get the front row seat and be right up close to see them do their trampoline show.
Okay.
They're called Flippin' Out.
Yes,
Flippin'
dude.
Out. And
wow.
they actually do a... They do like a 14-foot wall with trampolines on either side.
Okay.
And they also have been featured on the Today Show.
Wow, oh, that's really, cool.
Yeah,
really cool.
Super cool.
All right.
We also have an act, James Johnson.
Okay.
He's a world-class act. He holds the world record for holding the most people in a life-size balloon. It's like a 6-foot balloon.
Wait.
Wow.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He inflates it, puts it over his head, and then stretches it and gets other people in it. So you'll get...
Wow.
How did they breathe?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really insane to watch the videos of him trying to fit more people in a balloon. They're using like a leaf blower to keep putting air in it to get it bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
Dude. Man, see, okay, so growing up, I went to Hoffmantown, and Todd was my youth pastor, so of course we had like Disciple Now and all these pretty rad things. So X Camp to me seems like this generation's version of that, to where it's amazing, it's over the top, there's so much fun to be had, but at the core, obviously, it's about growing your relationship with Jesus, right?
Absolutely. One of our big values. We want kids to think church is a great place, somewhere that they want to come, where they're running to.
Yeah.
And so we put on these events to really let them know that this is the place where it should feel like home.
Yeah.
And this year we're going to teach them about the Apostle Paul and his conversion. And really, Paul lived this extraordinary life where he went out and he had one mission in life, really, to go and tell the world about Jesus. And so we're going to teach the kids that, you know, even if you're in third, fourth, fifth grade, whatever it may be, you can use your abilities to go out and tell the world.
Yeah.
So we bring them in, have them a really good time, but then we teach them a message just about how they can live an extraordinary life.
I love that.
Are you going to use the fidget spinner like the Pope? You see, there's three sides.
You have to put that into
your Father, sermon, the Son, the Holy Spirit. But you spin it, it looks like one circular thing. It's three in one.
Mm-hmm. I might have to write that in. We haven't had it in there yet, but
thanks to the Pope.
There's a whole sermon.
Or the satirical article that I read about the Pope.
No, it was real, man.
It was not real. The Photoshop was so bad.
I got to tell you. I feel like I got gypped as a kid because I went to camp. I grew up in Montana and I went to camp. Yeah. I thought it was pretty cool hearing what you guys are doing. I mean, the best thing we had was somebody came in with a yo-yo and did a few tricks. That was like the highlight of camp when I grew up. You guys are, this is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah,
this is
absolutely.
Awesome. Throwing this is going to be so much fun.
Yeah. Today's world, there's so many people fighting for our kids' attention. I mean, there's not only the internet, but there's so many other things. We feel like we have to be in that fight to get their attention, to really teach them what's true and what's right. And so we're going big to try to get them in and know that church is a place they should want to be and have a good time with.
Dude, this is incredible. Again, facebook.com/star88fm. I posted all the details. And if you're tuning in, you can get $15 off Star Me members. Star88FM, the coupon code for that. And really incredible what you guys are doing. And, of course, for more information, sagebrush.church /xcamp, where you can find all the information as well. But this year it's called Under the Big Top. What is that about?
Yeah, we just think if you go under a big top, everything's bigger than life, right? You have people sometimes on stilts, people juggling. So we're going to have a huge tent set up outside where we're having these acts perform. And we wanted to think, like, not only are they performing, but we can live a life that is almost a performance for God. That when we're living, we're going, okay, I'm going to school, and not only am I here to learn, but I'm here to be a representative and live an extraordinary life, something bigger. And so under the big top, we think it's always bigger. It's something amazing for them to be a part of.
That's cool.
Oh, it's incredible.
Renee, you're just itching to say something, I know.
I am. I just wanted to let folks know, too, that we have kids going into first grade through fifth grade that are welcome to come. So we're hoping that kids come sign up. And it's just
Nerf battles, laser tag, virtual reality, rug races. What kind of water events you guys got going on? You got some like blow up water slides?
What?
Probably have over 15 water slides or slip and slide activities set up outside for them. Wow. So the third day of camp is pretty much all outside.
Are adults allowed on those or just
stop
kids?
It, Dex. You can't go, dude. What if he never graduated fifth grade? Does that count? Can he still go? Because I know it's like first through fifth grade.
The best way to do that is volunteer to help. Bring your kids. Come as a volunteer. 3 days. Uh-huh. You come in. You get to ride the slides. And
you could sign up to volunteer online as well.
Very cool. Okay.
That's really cool.
So I posted that link for all the information for X Camp. If you would like to be a volunteer, if you'd like to learn more about X Camp, the trampoline wall, everything. And of course it talks about the water slides. Now the live worship, what's going on with the live worship? Who's right? Are you allowed to talk about live worship? Are you allowed to talk about who's doing worship?
Most of the kids at our church, they don't experience a live band every weekend. They get to see a lot of times a video or a lyric video with worship, but this year we put a full band on stage. They get to see the full lights, full worship experience, just being live and in front of them. So it goes over the top. They get to sing some of their favorite songs and worship together with anywhere between 800 and 1,000 of their friends at camp this
Beautiful,
year.
Beautiful, man.
Dude, so many people are chiming in. A member of the Stormy wanted to know if it's an all-day camp or what are the times? Like, how does that work?
Yes, it is from 9 to 3.
9 to 3.
And you guys feed them too, right?
Yes, we do. We feed them.
Like, nah, 9 to 3, dude, yes.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean,
they're kids, they're resilient. Nah.
You never know.
Just let them go.
So 9 to 3. Snacks,
Somebody else chimed in that says they love X Camp. They're wanting to know if Riot is going to happen again this year. Are you allowed to speak on that?
Yeah, I can give you a little hint on Riot. It's going to be June 26th, 27th, 28th.
Okay.
And that's for middle school and high school.
Okay, cool. All right. There you go.
What was last year? What was Riot last year? It was was there a band?
There's three different bands. Last year they went Family Force 5, Colton Dixon, and Critters Hole.
You know, some bands some bands you may have heard of, which is very, very cool. So, of course, X Camp, first through fifth grade. And, again, it's from 9 to 3. It's going down soon and very soon, less than a month. So you need to get in to register. And Facebook.com/Star88FM if you want to rock that Star88 coupon code. Save yourself $15 today for the members of the Starmy.
That's so cool.
Yeah, chiming in.
Renee, Justin, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for the fidget spinner. I seriously haven't stopped spinning the stupid thing. I can't figure out
how to do it. Thank you for having us.
Can't figure it out.
This is going to be good for you because you have ADD.
I do not have ADD.
Yes, you do.
I might have ADD.
He can't focus, so I feel like this is going to help. He has lots of anxiety.
You know, I asked some good questions. I was focused for this interview.
You were, man. You were.
Just rocking my fidget spinner.
Thanks for coming in, you guys.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. Amazing. Facebook.com/Star88FM for all the details on X Camp again.
Get that fidget spinner! Get the fidgets better.
Guys, I just did a hand transfer. Watch this. Boom.
Oh. Guys, we just got fidget spinners. Our friends at Sagebrush dropped them off for us.
Yeah, heck yeah.
We're excited for X Camp. If you have kids, hey, get them into X Camp. First through fifth grade.
We posted a link on our Facebook page and a way for the Starmy to get a hookup on the price. So that's pretty cool.
Ow.
Guys, I don't quite understand. Look. Does that count as a hand transfer?
Man, I can see you doing like a tour, like a church tour, where you just go and perform in front of all the kids.
Look, righty.
With your fidget spinner.
Dang it.
Terrible at it.
Shut up, X.
Welcome to the show, everybody. 7:48.
High today of 68 degrees. Traffic. Roads are looking good, free and clear. Yeah. Except,
good job.
Remember earlier how there was an accident on Rio Bravo Rio Bravo Boulevard and Broadway?
Mm-hmm.
Now there's one on Rio Bravo at 2nd Street. Maybe it got backed up and people were getting frustrated and boom! So now there's two on Rio Bravo. Just stay away from Rio Bravo, guys. Nobody likes that area anyways. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic!
9 a.m. Shock Therapy Live. It's back.
Oh, yeah.
Pastor Nate Heitzig will be joining us, and this is an hour maybe the fidget spinner isn't a good idea. You know what?
Did you see that?
Give me your fidget spinner.
Did you see that? One finger hand transferred to the other hand. Watch this. Bam!
Nobody can see you, bro. It's just me.
Oh! Okay. Just spinning fidgets.
Put it down now. Slide it away. There you
go. Fine.
Shock Therapy Live. This is an hour. Show starts at 9 a.m. where you guys get to chime in with your questions. These are questions that you usually never ask because you're scared or embarrassed, and you don't have to feel that way. We're going to discuss anything and everything under the sun. We're not scared. Shock Therapy Live coming up at 9.
Yeah.
We're really excited.
I mean,
just so excited, guys. I'm excited for this story. I've been waiting to share this story. I've never heard of this happening before. But the story I'm about to share, there's a guy who might be the manliest man ever. Okay?
I'm listening. Manliest man ever. Like me with my fidget spinner.
Yeah, well. Well, a bunch of people at Walmart in central Minnesota, they started freaking out on Tuesday when a deer wandered in and started running around the store.
Yes!
Luckily, no one was hurt because a guy who looks like he's in his early 40s took charge.
Never surrender!
He managed to wrestle the deer to the ground and he put it in an MMA-style headlock. Did you see the picture? Look at this picture, Steve-O. There he is. He wrestled the deer to the ground and put it. He has it in a chokehold. This is unbelievable. Someone posted a photo on Facebook where they're both lying on a big bag of dog food in the middle of the store. Yeah, it's a rear naked choke. He rear naked choked the deer with his legs wrapped around its body so it couldn't get up. Now, if you're a deer fan, don't worry. They let it go. They ran off into the wilderness.
Never surrender. Never surrender.
That's pretty crazy, man. I've never heard of that. Growing up in Montana, I'd never heard of a deer running into a Wally World. Just doesn't happen, man. Now, in smaller towns, it happens. There's a town, it's a couple hours from where I grew up. It's Gardner, Montana. And elk just graze through the town. Like giant 6-point bull elk. Put it down. He's fidget spinning right now, guys.
I'm paying attention.
Oh.
Give it to me.
No.
Do you see how quick my reflexes
quick,
are?
Man.
Because of my fidget spinning skills. Nope.
Anyways. Yeah. There's just deer. Even in the town I grew up, when I went back last summer, there was just deer grazing all over the town. Give me the fidget spinner. Give it to me now.
Never.
I'm regretting this fidget spinner.
No, man. Blame Sagebrush.
It's your fault, Sagebrush.
Yep.
You're never allowed in again.
I blame Todd Cook.
Specifically. It's your fault, Todd Cook.
It's your fault, Todd.
Yep.
Gosh,
I bet
Todd.
It was his idea.
Oh, Todd.
You know it was his idea.
When are we going to get him in here?
He won't come in.
I got to talk to him about some things. He was my youth pastor, so a lot of this is his fault. If you don't like my attitude, blame him.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He's the one that really like set
that's
the course.
Correct.
For...
No, it's not
nah, man, that's it. Look at this.
Listen, look I would have kicked you out of church, too, man.
How, what? What are you talking about? He didn't kick me out of church. I mean, we're like super bros.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get Todd in here one day.
I wouldn't let you around my flock either.
Oh, what? I'm part of the flock.
Nope, not back then.
The flock that rocks.
Yeah, you're corrupting my flock. Get out. Get out. Put you in a chokehold, just like that deer. There you go. Look it up, guys. Look this photo up. It's all over the internets, and it's pretty cool. He rear naked choked a deer in Wally World in Walmart. It's pretty incredible. Back to you, Steve. Why don't
cool.
you talk about Chris Cornell? Because it's big news. We should talk about it every hour.
Really?
It's big news, man.
Chris Cornell, Soundgarden and Audioslave frontman, passed away overnight. Found dead this morning. 52 years old. According to Detroit police, it was sudden and expected. His wife called a family friend, wanted to know. Get that fidget spinner out of my face. Wanted to know if he was okay. They went to check on him. They had to end up breaking the door down into his hotel room. They found him. Dead in his bathroom. Yeah. Which is weird. They played a show last night. He admitted to drug use, you know, years back, but he's been clean and sober for a few. Man. Why are you making me talk about this again? I really don't like talking about it. Yeah. So unfortunately, Chris Cornell, founding member of Soundgarden, Audioslave, dead at 52.
So sad.
Detroit PD are investigating as a suicide, but it's still way too early to tell.
Yeah, the wife, she got worried, right, and wanted somebody to go and check on him, and that's when they found him in the bathroom. Very sad. Listen, if anybody out there is listening right now and you feel lost, you feel alone, depressed, you feel suicidal, just know we're always here for you guys. You know, we don't have to put you on the air. You know, we'd love to just help you as much as we can, you know, because there's a lot of people that just feel like there's nobody to turn to. There's nobody to talk to, or maybe they just, you know, maybe they're getting bullied at school. Whatever the case is, man, don't believe the lies because you're not alone. You know, always here for you guys. 505-585-LIVE. You can text us or hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. That's right. Instagram just rolled out their new filters. I was wondering when they were going to do that.
I mean, have you even used one?
No, they're kind of lame compared to Snapchat. There's like Princess Crown and Queen Crown.
What?
Flowers. Yeah, they're pretty basic. Pretty basic. I'm a Snapchatter, man.
Uh-oh. Got a text. My boy TJ. You know TJ.
Mm-hmm.
Wants to know if I want a present. Yes.
Okay.
I don't know.
What does that mean? Are you just going to leave us hanging like that?
I don't know. I just got a thumbs up. We'll find out what that means. 20 to 30.
What? What is 20 to 30? What does that mean?
In 20 to 30?
Oh, in 20 to 30. I was like, what are you talking about?
30 maybe? I don't know.
You're freaking me out, man. These fidget spinners have totally ruined the show this morning.
What are you talking about? Renee's still here if you want to go out there and yell at her.
Give me it. I'm going to give it back.
No! No! I'm so focused.
You know you're not. This has done the exact opposite.
Is it weird that really this thing is like wrecking me? I'm sorry, guys. I'm just like,
this is what I don't understand. They haven't banned them at my kid's school yet.
Yeah.
I see why they ban them in most schools around the country now.
But look at these mad skills, yo.
How do the kids focus when they're constantly doing that?
It was in my left hand. It's now in my right hand.
Oh, my gosh.
Watch this.
No,
ready? Boom! Back to my left, still spinning. I'm spinning fidgets.
Unbelievable. I'm so embarrassed right now. If you are a brand new listener, this isn't what our show sounds like. Okay? Just to let you know. Or maybe it does. It probably does. Welcome. All right, when we come back, we got more headlines. You can actually speak your dog's language. That's right. Do you know that? Steve-O, you can speak Rocket's language. You had no idea, huh? We'll talk about that. And some good news about a six-year-old with 40 cents. He did something pretty cool for his mom on Mother's Day. Kind of reminds me of you, what you did for your mom on Mother's Day, year after your father passed away.
Yeah.
Dude, you're going to love this story. It'll make you cry.
Oh, good.
I can't wait.
Shout out to the Rio Bravo area because people are mad that I said nobody likes that area. I like that area. We play baseball out there. My kids go to school out there.
Mm-hmm.
Being snarky, yo.
That was Steve-O, guys.
My wife wants to live out there on a ranch with, like, cattle.
Uh-huh.
Ugh.
Okay. We'll be back.
It's the Morning Invasion with Dax and Steve-O on Star 88.
The Social Security Administration just released its 2016 baby name data. And the fastest growing name in the U.S. is Kylo, as in Kylo Ren from Star Wars, The Force Awakens. This is surprising since newborn babies look way more like Yoda to me. Poop my pants, I did. According to the data, 238 parents named their sons after the new Star Wars villain last year. I'm not convinced naming your son Kylo is a great idea. For one thing, Kylo Ren kills his dad, which is a huge spoiler for your son's teenage years.
Questions are pouring in for Shock Therapy Live at 9. Just a reminder, it's a mature show. You have to decide, parents, whether or not you're going to allow your kids to tune in. But we're going to be talking about some mature subjects at times. But if they're old enough and you want them to listen in, it'd be a good discussion for you guys. That's why we're going to do it. That's why we do Shock Therapy Live. We're going to answer those questions that people usually are afraid to ask. Welcome to the show, 806.
High today of 68 degrees.
Traffic!
Taking a look at the road, shall we? Man. Water valve repair. The right lane is closed. Lead Avenue West between Bryn Mawr and Girard. There are no accidents to report at this time, which is good. Oh, there's some construction going on in the central area. Between University and Yale, the left lane is closed. Also, San Mateo, right there, eastbound central. Two right lanes are closed. That's your look at traffic.
Brought to you by...
Learn the ancient art of ninjutsu at Ninja Technical University.
Oh, one day at night, ninja training's all right. Online, anytime, throwing stars are just fine. Get your degree.
Kill your enemy at Ninja Technical University.
Here's your chance to become a stealthy assassin using throwing stars, katanas, smoke bombs, and poison. Ninja Technical University will provide you with dark clothing, a face mask, and job placement assistance. Here's what Michelangelo the Mutant Turtle had to say.
Cowabunga.
And nice. Learn from the world's leading martial arts masters, like Scorpion from Mortal Kombat.
Get over here!
Be a full-time ninja one day a week. Call 1-800-FINISH-HIM. That's 1-800-FINISH-HIM.
Get your degree. Kill your enemy at Ninja Technical University.
Love By the that. Way, I just totally rocked a floating fidget spinner. Did you see that?
Nope, I didn't see anything.
You're a liar.
Didn't see anything,
Look
man.
At this. I'll do it again. Let's see if I can do it again.
Put it down. Put it down.
Oh, it was
man.
Even higher. Dang it.
Nope.
I got excited and dropped it.
Sagebrush, thank you for bringing these fidget spinners
to
us.
I'm not sure this is actually going to work out well for X Camp.
Yeah, no kidding. Whoever said that. These are for kids that can't focus?
Yeah.
They're liars. This doesn't help.
What are you talking about? I'm totally focused on this fidget spinner. Look at how focused I am. Be the fidget spinner.
Be the fidget spinner.
Let's see.
This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. All right.
Putting it in my pocket.
Yep. Do it.
Putting it in my pocket.
Let me share a story with you. This is I think you'll enjoy this story, Steve-O, because you shared a story. Just before Mother's Day, about your first Mother's Day with your mom, without your dad, and how you went. And
my mom shared that story.
Did you steal your mom's credit card to go and buy her a dress?
I asked her if I could buy her something for Mother's Day because I knew that she wasn't going to be getting anything from dad.
No, I'm pretty sure you stole the credit card.
So her best friend, Aloysa, got her credit card and took me to Lena Stevens.
That's cool.
Her favorite store.
That's really cool, man. You'll appreciate this story.
Will I or will I cry?
How old were you at the time?
6.
Oh my gosh. 6 years old. This kid in Australia.
Oh, good.
His name? Wraith. Wraith Barlow. Well, he disappeared Sunday morning. His parents were freaking out. They had no idea where he went. They called the cops and immediately started looking for him. Obviously, it could have been pretty serious, but it turned out fine because, well, he did something for his mom on Mother's Day. He took a broom handle to open a chain lock on their front door while his mom was in the shower. No real chain lock. Okay. Then he rode his bike about 2 miles to a store because he wanted to buy her a Mother's Day gift. He dragged the flat-screen TV up to one of the registers and tried to buy it with all the money he had, which was 40 cents.
Oh.
A manager realized he was alone and started walking him home. But on the way, he saw some police helicopters and realized, well, they might be looking for him. So he stopped at a convenience store to call it in. Well, Wraith's mom says he had no idea how dangerous it was. Apparently, he crossed a pretty major highway to get to the store. And he told the local news that he loves his mom. And he really just wanted to get her that TV.
I just ride my bike.
I came out and thought, gee, it's very quiet.
I just grabbed a chair, stand on it, then opened a chain.
Why did you go there?
Because the reality sell TVs.
We can't thank everybody enough.
I love my mum.
Okay.
There's a couple things about this story. I'm choked up a little
bit. Gosh, you really are.
I have questions about, okay? First one. What's up with the chain lock on their front door? Who has a chain lock on their front door?
I mean, obviously them.
Okay. All right. Chain lock.
They don't have.
It's not weird to you?
They don't have. Well, right. No. Like, what kind of chain? Like, what if, like in hotels?
A chain lock.
Yeah, dude, like in hotels.
No, this was like a big chain.
No,
it was a big chain. Okay. Now we're at the store. He dragged the flat screen TV up to one of the registers and tried to buy it with all the money he had.
Yeah.
Well, I want to know what happened after that. It just cuts to, oh, the guy walked him home. Which leads me to, if I was the guy walking him home and saw the helicopters and a light bulb came on that they're looking for the kid, see ya, kid, I'm out.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Last thing I want is for them to think I took the kid.
Wow. You are insensitive.
Guy's lucky. A lot of holes in this story, guys.
I thought this was supposed to be a good news story.
Well, you know me. I don't proofread. I got a lot of questions here. There's too many questions, and I...
So did he get the TV?
No, he had 40 cents.
Yeah, I know, but I thought...
And how did he drag... I mean, it doesn't say how big the flat screen TV was. I want to know how big it was.
Yeah.
That's another question I have. Oh, my gosh. I just have so many questions about this story. I've never been this way with a story.
You going to be okay, man?
I don't know, man. Where's my fidget spinner? Kind of getting some anxiety right now.
Watch this. I've already learned three tricks, guys. Three.
This is unbelievable.
That's the dumbest story. I was waiting, seriously waiting for somebody to come up and be like, oh, son, I'll buy your TV. And they lived happily ever after. And it's like,
the headline is deceiving. It's clickbait is what it is. It's just,
I wish you would learn to pre-read anything.
Well, I mean, 6-year-old with 40 cents tried to buy his mom a TV for Mother's Day. I'm clicking on that bad boy, you know? I'm saving that for the show prep.
But you're not going to pre-read the story to make sure that it's...
No, they got me, man. Doesn't happen very often, but they got me. Wait, Real Housewives of Atlanta star?
Okay, no, stop. It's clickbait. It's clickbait. Don't click on that.
Wait, Chris Cornell died?
Oh, my gosh. Get out of my life. Somebody just chimed in, actually, and said, not to be insensitive, but why is it that so many entertainment stars die in the bathroom?
Why you gotta laugh at that, man?
Okay, whoa, dude. That was obviously not... That was... Where did you get that clip of me laughing, bro?
Okay, good one. You're gonna you laughed
Shut
at that,
up, dude. Do
and now
not.
You're gonna say
I'm
I played
laughing.
A clip.
Okay,
unbelievable. Why would you laugh at that?
You are a jerk. It's true though, because you think about that, Elvis, Scott Weiland, obviously now Chris Cornell,
and they all died where?
In the bathroom. See, that's like mid-laugh.
Why are you laughing at that?
That was mid-laugh. Everybody knows that you totally just...
Okay, yeah. You're gonna play that, because that's your laugh, man. See? You hit the,
I don't
you hit the
like
counter.
You, man.
You hit the counter.
Oh! When did you get recordings of me laughing so you can make me laugh in awkward situations?
That's how you're gonna play this? This is how you're gonna play it? I'm the one getting punked, everyone. He's punking me right now.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He talks about all these celebrities that died in the bathroom. He laughs, and then he turns it around like I'm playing a clip. Unbelievable.
Can we talk about this TV show?
We all know how you feel about Chris Cornell dying.
Stop it.
Quit laughing.
Stop playing that. Dude.
Quit laughing.
I'm not laughing. You are such a jerk. You know, we've been talking this week about the different new shows that the networks are launching, and here's one that caught our attention. In the winter, CBS launching a new mid-season show called By the Book.
By the Book.
It's based on a novel by a man who spent a year trying to follow the Bible as literally as possible, including not shaving, not wearing clothes made of mixed fibers, and stoning adulterers.
Oh, what?
I'm not joking. If you care, the book is called The Year of Living Biblically by A.J. Jacobs. I don't know. Interesting, fascinating, still not sure how I feel, but they're turning it into a TV show. I wonder if it just means, what's hard with this is, it was probably more of a, he's going to try and literally live by Levitical law or something in the Old Testament. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So, of course, because of that...
What's that show that you guys like, Last Man on Earth?
I've never seen that show.
Oh, what? Seriously?
Yeah, dude.
All right. Well, Steve Ryman's favorite
show. Teo and Steve Ryman love that show.
I've seen like 6 episodes, and it's a really funny show. I wonder if it's going to be kind of like that, the type of show.
Yeah.
It's because it's a comedy, right? Well, the book's a comedy, I think.
The book's a comedy?
It says by the book is a comedy. Or excuse me, is by the book the name of the show, or is that the book? What's the name of the book?
The book is called The Year of Living Biblically, man.
All right, so the show's by the book, so it is a comedy. So I'm guessing that's what it's going to be like.
Yeah.
Huh. All right. He stones people, huh? Wonder if this is going to last.
It's a comedy about a modern-day man at a crossroads in his life who decides to live strictly in accordance with the Bible. Chip Curry, he's the film critic for a New York newspaper, soon-to-be father, who wants to be a better man following the loss of his best friend. So he begins this sincere spiritual journey toward a more moral life with the help of his wife and friends, wondering if he'll be able to take a page or every page out of the good book. And if the effects will be of biblical proportions. It's based on the New York Times best-selling book, The Year of Living Biblically. It's a scripted TV show. It stars J.R. Ferguson as Chip, Lindsey Crafts in it, Ian Gomez. There's a dude playing Father Gene, a dude playing a rabbi. Who knows? It will be on CBS this winter.
All right, I'll watch it.
Will you, though?
I'll watch it.
You really think so?
Yeah, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, it's a scripted show. It's not a reality show. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got 5 random facts for you.
We don't do that anymore.
What? I got 5 random facts for you.
And now it's time for.
Random
facts.
1, 2, 3, 5.
Number 5. If you train your dog to poop pine cones,
what?
You'll never have to pick up after him. Number 4, you can get dog hair off furniture using gentle persuasion.
Okay.
Number 3, lemons can remove water spots from faucets, tubs, and deceased relatives.
Oh.
Number 2,
Morgan.
Seconds after the MGM lion roared for cameras, he slaughtered the entire film crew.
Oh my gosh.
And number 1, you can use baking soda as an exfoliant. You can also use it to freshen your laundry, balance your pH levels, whiten your teeth, and strengthen your marriage.
Oh, okay.
I'm kidding. Now, that's beyond repair.
Oh man.
Morgan!
Morgan Freeman.
How
this
are
is
you?
Why he will never take my job. Gosh, dude, I don't like that you employ him. I really don't.
It's only $10 a month, man. He's real cheap.
Don't like it.
$10 bucks to get Morgan Freeman on the show? That's pretty cheap.
Can I just do the real ones, please?
Yes.
Gosh. Not going to be as cool because you got Morgan Freeman. You know, if you wiggle this thing back and forth, you can see each individual arm, even though it's spinning at a rapid pace.
Guys, this fidget spinner thing is ridiculous.
The day after Osama bin Laden's death, Disney tried to trademark the name Teal.
Morgan, where are you at?
Sorry. The day after Osama bin Laden's death, Disney tried to trademark the name okay.
Morgan, we need you, buddy. Can you step in?
This has been today's edition of... 2, 3, 4!
Random.
Unbelievable.
That didn't work out for me at all. I'm going to do 5 random facts, but I've got another random. No. TJ just walked in studio.
TJ Dillashaw?
TJ, you get up to the mic. No, not TJ Dillashaw. I'm not going to say his last name on air. Unless you want to say his last name on air. I can say your last. This is TJ Holt, guys. This is our buddy TJ.
Hi, guys.
Hey, man.
Buddy.
What are you doing?
Dude, long time no see.
Well, I know if you text me back, we could hang out more.
Oh, wait. Are you channeling Bill Peterson or are you talking to me, really?
No, actually, you're channeling Bill Peterson by not answering me. So, you guys are like neighbors, right? So you're like best friends? And
I mean, we're neighbors.
Yeah.
I do love Bill Peterson.
He's a pretty good dude.
For those that don't know, TJ, he lives out in Moriarty and raises cattle along with his 19 children.
2 children.
Yeah.
I guess I could be the 3rd in the household.
Yeah.
Nice.
So
it's good.
My wife raises cattle, I suppose you could say.
There you go.
Yeah. I had no idea you were coming in this morning.
No.
I have no idea who you are.
He hit us up and I said, yes, come in studio. What you got?
Well,
what is this?
I know that you're
if it's a
nerd,
fidget spinner, take no, get
no
out
fidget
now.
Spinners.
Okay.
Here we go.
All right.
So I was at a store. Excuse me.
Clear that throat.
What?
Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
So I was in the city at a store that
he's talking about Albuquerque
sells a surplus.
Oh, okay. Wait, so, surplus?
A city that sells surplus.
Ah, got it.
And oh my gosh! I was looking for some other things, and I came across that.
Dude, these are all cable comics?
All cable comics.
Wait, at a surplus store?
At a surplus store.
That is the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
I know, and they're like, everything's a dollar. I'm like, well, I'll take five.
Dude, that is so awesome.
These are old cable comics. By the way, for those who don't know who Cable is, he's my favorite comic
book. I'm a nerd.
Okay, I'll stop talking. Dude, so...
That's pretty cool.
Tell everybody what it's like to live out in the middle of nowhere.
Well, you get a lot of wind. And then there's some more wind.
Mm-hmm. Snow.
Oh, there's some snow.
You get snow.
It was snowing in Santa Fe this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird, right?
Thank you, Jesus. I'm not working there today.
Dude. Yeah. You still rocking the blinds like a champion?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was driving my pedo van for a while. Because my good van was in the shop because it wouldn't start. So I'm driving the van that if you idle for 3 minutes, you have a big cloud of smoke and you drive off.
We have one of those.
No windows.
It says Star 88 on the side. And
stop it. What?
Yeah. Well, at least you have markings. Mine's just plain white.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Yeah, but do you ever like drive around in neighborhoods and then just pretend like you're in the CIA, like monitoring people?
Early on, I used to.
Okay.
And then after about the 14th time, the APD came knocking on my window.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, I'm done.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I watch a lot of Homeland. They always use those kind of vans. Are you sure you're not really like... You couldn't tell us anyways, even if you were.
Well, we'd find out. You would find out soon enough.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I live a different kind of life, man. It's kind of cray-cray. What can I say?
What?
What? What? A little crazy, man.
You are crazy.
I watch Homeland. Yeah. I know what that's like.
Uh-huh.
Actually, I haven't watched that in like 2 years. You're already looking at your watch. What, you gotta get out of here?
I gotta be out of here in like 8 minutes.
In like eight, don't worry. We're gonna break in like two, so you're okay.
That works.
Good. Yeah. Can I do my five random facts?
Oh my gosh.
Morgan Freeman
you're
interrupts
back to
me.
This again?
TJ's bringing me comics, which is incredible.
And now it's time for...
All right, I gotta do this.
Don't mess it up, man. Facts.
1, 2, 3, 4.
The day after Osama bin Laden's death, Disney tried to trademark the name SEAL Team 6. I nailed it.
You got it, buddy.
Oh. Ow.
What did you do?
Just hit my head on
Are
my
you
microphone.
Kidding me? You're done.
This has been today's edition of...
1, 2, 3, 4. I didn't even get through my facts, man.
Sorry, man. We're out of time.
What? Yeah. It was rejected, by the way. It was rejected. Uh-huh. Come on. Okay. I have 4 more random facts. Harrison Ford's pay for doing the first Star Wars movie? $10,000.
A lot of money.
He made 50 times that in Return of the Jedi. $500,000. Which is still not a whole lot of money when you think about that.
But he got royalties, right? Isn't that what happened?
Who, Harrison Ford?
Yeah, didn't he get...
I don't think so.
I thought he got...
I don't think so.
Okay.
There are still approximately 1.6 million Americans who don't have indoor plumbing. They use an outhouse or a hole in the ground. That's real. Do you guys have that in Moriarty? Do you guys have indoor plumbing?
We have plumbing, yes.
Okay.
You'd be surprised.
In 1983, before Michael Bolton was famous, he auditioned to replace Ozzy Osbourne as the lead singer in... Black Sabbath.
Love Michael Bolton.
That's real, man! Play me some Michael Bolton.
It's not that hard, David. Na-e-na-na-ja.
Well, at least your name isn't Michael Bolton.
No, I wanted real Michael Bolton, man.
Greatest movie of all time.
Nintendo named Mario after the landlord of their first warehouse, Mario Segal. It was a way to get an extension on paying their rent. That's real!
This has been today's edition of...
1, 2, 3, 4!
Random
facts.
I just don't like how you always cut me off.
I have a random fact.
Oh, yes?
Dex and I have never met in person until today.
Nice to meet you, man.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah, look at that firm handshake.
So I've given you some junk over the live line, I know.
Yeah, that's you?
That's
me.
Yeah,
dude.
Oh, man.
And I'm the guy that you hated because I shared the... pre-April giraffe video.
Oh, that was you!
Yeah, that was me.
Oh, I was so mad when you did that.
Coming back, TJ and Dex are going to fight to the death.
With my fidget spinner.
Okay.
Better watch out.
I feel like I'll win this one. I'm like...
I think I broke mine.
I'll teach you how to use it, man. Okay. Gosh, watch this.
TJ, will you take his fidget spinner?
The floor just took it.
All right. Yeah, we'll be right back. Hang out with us.
It's the Morning Invasion with Dex and Steve-O on Star 88.
What's going on in the news today?
President Trump delivering his commencement address to graduates of the Coast Guard Academy in New London, Connecticut.
Starting today, I hope you feel the full gratitude of our nation.
Gisele Bündchen tells CBS This Morning her husband Tom Brady played while he had a concussion last season as he led the Patriots to a fifth Super Bowl title.
He had a concussion last year.
Late night comedian Jimmy Kimmel is returning to host the Academy Awards next year.
Chelsea Manning has been released from prison in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas.
North Carolina Senator Tom Tillis collapsed during a D.C. three-mile race.
J.W. Boy Ledford Jr. put to death in northwest Georgia.
More than two dozen reports of tornadoes.
A study found 38 million pieces of trash, mostly plastic, have washed onto Henderson Island, the highest density of trash ever recorded.
A new estimate for the biting strength of Tyrannosaurus Rex.
8,000 pounds of force.
The monument to Confederate General P.G.T. Beauregard was taken down. A victory for people who say it paid homage to slavery and segregation.
Today is the 138th day of the year. Christmas is in like 2 weeks, guys. Seriously. Get your Christmas shopping done now because it's right around the corner. 8:37.
Hi, today, a fidget spinner! I really can't stop playing with this thing. It's stupid. Guys, I am the prime example of why your kid does not need a fidget spinner no matter how much he says it will help with his ADD.
Ban the fidget!
I am spinning fidgets like a champion! The roads are clear, I think. I don't know. I haven't even checked the map because fidget spinner. No, I'm just kidding. The roads
are fine.
Thanks,
Sagebrush. Yeah. Thanks.
Shout out to Sagebrush Church who came in this morning and gave us a gift of fidget spinners.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
You know, Renee, Justin, you guys are champion among men.
I blame Renee.
And women.
That's Renee's fault.
Okay. She'll be back next week. I wonder what gift they're going to bring us then. Because TJ was just in here and got me cable comics, which is really, 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 really cool.
I love it. I love when people bring gifts in for you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you want one?
Well, I kind of feel like we're like 50-50, so I think I should have half of those comics.
Oh, what is this, like a marriage? When we finally separate, are you going to try and take half my money too? Man. I'm going to take half of these. Gosh, would you like one third of my fidget spinner? These are mine. Wait, those three?
Yep, I want these.
Why do you get three and I get two?
Sorry, man.
Gosh, man.
There you go.
Okay.
Those are mine. What were we talking about?
We got a really cool, interesting fact. Remember, I did five random facts, and one of them was from Nintendo, how they named their, how they named Mario after their landlord. Nintendo naming their famous character after their landlord was actually also a slight because there were snapping turtles and angry crabs coming out of their plumbing.
Oh!
Yeah. So.
All right.
Yeah.
That's a fun fact.
Thanks, Paul in Houston.
Steve, how old is Jack Johnson today?
Oh, dude.
How old is he?
The Rodeo Clowns. Yeah, 42.
Oh.
Yes! Shut up!
42, Jack Johnson.
Discovered by my boy G-Love. Garrett. G-Love and Special Sauce, everybody.
He loves me some banana pancakes, man.
What?
That's my favorite song.
Okay.
Tina Fey celebrating today. 30 Rock.
Yeah. SNL.
How old is she?
44.
47. Enigma celebrating a birthday.
What?
Enigma.
Like, oh.
Yeah. Sadness Part 1.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, the 90s. I don't remember how that song actually goes. Yeah, there you go. Was that Enigma or Deep Forest?
No, it's Enigma.
What was Deep Forest?
I don't know.
What?
I don't know what that
Look is. Up Deep Forest. You're a liar.
I'm dead serious. Well,
come on, 90s. You worked at the Edge, bro. I don't understand
we
you
never
sometimes.
Played Deep Forest, bro.
I just shut your filthy mouth.
Never played it.
Not talking to you. I'm talking to this guy who showed up 20 minutes early.
What?
I just came to drop my stuff off. I'm just here to drop my stuff off. I'll be back again in 20.
Are you serious?
Will you really?
Yeah, Dustin's coming on the show this morning.
Yes! I can't even begin to tell you how many people have like said, come on, bro, let's be real. The show's starting at 9:20.
Yeah,
no. I gotta text Stephen Christian because he's on his way in. I gotta bump him.
You're gonna have to bump him till tomorrow. You know, cool stuff like that. Dude,
I hope you guys have a stinking awesome intro.
Oh, dude.
We got you a new intro, bro.
We got you a new intro that's going to blow your mind.
Is it Morgan
guys,
Freeman?
Coming up. No.
Dude.
No.
He's so cheap.
Coming
you
up
hire
at 9
for
o'clock. Shock Therapy Live. Just wait. Because, Nate, that's like your number one thing. You want an intro. And I will say, we slaved over this.
This is going to be terrible. I already know it.
No, it is not.
You actually have one of these fidget spinners?
Yeah, will you take Steve-O's? Because he is annoying.
Boom.
I've never actually used one.
I hadn't either.
You just spin it,
Sagebrush came in this morning and dropped him off for us. Did you know that the Pope uses this to teach people about the Holy Trinity?
Lies.
That is a lie, actually. However, but think about it. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, you spin it, three in one. It looks like one singular disc, but it's three unique individuals
in
one.
I can't believe how much a fidget spinner has just wrecked our show this morning. It has just wrecked it.
I'm spinning fidgets, dog.
I just don't get it.
Nobody gets it.
You don't get it, but you haven't stopped spinning it since you came in. Here, let me fix it for you because it's not as cool right now. Watch this.
Yeah, I dropped it and it broke.
Yeah, he dropped his and I fixed mine. Now spin it.
Dude, Steve-O loves
I'm already
fidget
a pro,
spinners.
Right?
He loves them.
A little more balanced.
Mm, I'm not sold.
I'm not sold either, but watch this trick.
Oh my gosh.
Dang it!
I got it! That's
give me back my fidget spinner.
It can hardly be considered a trick.
You're gonna have give to get me in my pocket if you
gross,
want.
Gross, dude. I'm not going in your pocket.
Yeah!
You weirdo.
All right, no,
well,
no,
I'm gonna go meet Dustin for some coffee and then we'll be back in here in a second.
This is a great day, man. We had Sagebrush on this morning.
Yep,
we've
banned.
Got Dustin in from Copperpoint coming in. It's like a day of where's Steve Smotherman? Where's Steve? Call in Steve. I know you listen. He does listen.
Is this Deep Forest? Is this what you wanted?
Do you remember Deep Forest from the 90s? This is not it. This is the dump. This is not.
It does sound like it.
Did you guys talk about Chris Cornell this morning?
Yeah.
I woke up at 3 a.m. and that's the first thing I read on my Twitter and just cried. I'm not even being funny. I actually cried.
So sad.
I took Teo to see them a couple years ago.
I woke up at 5:30 to work out and I listened to that song, The Keeper, from Machine Gun Preacher, for an hour while I was working out.
Oh.
Was
well, you know, in 2011, he married his now wife, Vicky, and she is from Greece and Greek Orthodox. And he converted, actually, because he was
Greek Orthodox.
Yeah, to the Greek Orthodox Church, because he was like staunch, like nothing. You know what I mean? And so,
like Black Hole Sun.
Yeah, exactly. And then you hear his last two albums, and it's evident. So, but it's still just 52 years old, tragic. They still don't know how. I'm hoping he didn't relapse because he'd been sober for years, man.
They know how. We just haven't released it yet.
Detroit police this morning. Because man, I jumped on and it had like they had just found him.
With all that stuff. I mean, they're super private about it because it's a celebrity and it's a rock star.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when you know.
Yeah, most likely he OD'd. That's what happened.
I hope not. Except they're actually investigating it as a suicide, so. Mm-hmm. I hope. Oh, man. Ugh. 52, too young for natural causes.
Dude.
Is it too young for natural causes your body?
It's a former former grunge band lead singer. Courtney Love's got to be somewhere around there. It's not a suicide.
That's
it's not a suicide.
Stop it.
Poor Courtney Love.
What?
She
what?
Gets no
poor
love.
Courtney. What?
Yeah, we were at Sopo this morning and
somebody else actually brought her up this morning.
Yeah, like, man, Courtney Love just.
Nate Heitzig.
I'll be right back.
All right, man. All right. Have fun.
Shock Therapy Live kicks off at 9, so get your questions in if you have anything. 585 Live, you can text in or studio at star88.fm.
Okay.
All right, I'm really excited to play this Deep Forest.
Can I have my fidget spinner?
Nope.
You don't remember this? So we can keep going with birthdays and stuff.
Some little men and women.
I have never heard this. Whoa.
Yeah.
This is cool.
Can I please? That's Matt Gentry. Can I please just keep going with birthdays with this in the
background? That is Matt Gentry.
Sounds like Matt Gentry.
Maybe they are.
Ooh, Deep Forest.
Wow.
You know this song. Keep going.
Okay. All
you know this song. It was on MTV.
I've never heard this.
Sweet Lullaby is the name of the single. This isn't the single.
Okay.
Sweet Lullaby. Find Sweet Lullaby.
This one?
Sure. Oh, yeah, 1992 just called and they were like, what's up, girl? It's been a while. We're Deep Forest. Check out our only song.
I don't remember
this.
We
want to be Enigma, but we're not.
Get out of here.
Stop this- it! Keep playing it!
Ridiculous.
That's real, man! Come on, bro! Yeah, Deep Forest!
Deleted.
They were nominated for a Grammy in 1992 for their smash hit Sweet Lullaby. Come on, 90s guy.
Nope.
Wow. You're not a real 90s guy.
I don't like the 90s.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Last month, Val Kilmer finally admitted he battled cancer. He said he won that battle. And earlier this week in an online Q&A... Man, the star of Tombstone, I'll be your Huckleberry, said he beat cancer through the power of prayer. Quote, people know that I am a Christian and a scientist.
No, no.
Oh, wait, that's not his. He's a Christian scientist. Does that mean that he digs for
awesome.
Fossils and...
I'm a Christian and a scientist. No, that's not correct. He's a Christian scientist.
Well, this story just changed. He said, many, many people have been healed by prayer throughout recorded history, and many, many people have died by whatever was modern medicine. Jesus taught his students how to heal physical and mental challenges by understanding the immense power of love. I've seen people turn down love. I've turned it down myself when I was younger. Now, to be fair, he didn't say he only used prayer to fight cancer, but that's one of the basic tenets.
Well, yeah, they
of his
believe
beliefs.
They believe that sickness is an illusion. Is
it's
what they believe.
Play more Deep Forest.
Okay,
it's an illusion.
Oh yeah,
come on, you know that song, bro.
Nope.
CBS dumped two broke girls, and here's a crazy thing: the circumstances share several commonalities with Last Man Standing, which ABC axed last week. They both lasted six seasons. They both started out hot in season one. They lost well over half their audiences. Perhaps most importantly, they were both being licensed by an outside production company, which means the networks didn't own the shows, and so the cost of keeping them on the air were more than in-house production.
Mm.
In any event, other shows CBS canceled. American Gothic? Anyone?
No.
Brain Dead?
Nope.
Criminal Minds Beyond Borders?
No.
Doubt?
No.
The Great Indoors?
No.
The Odd Couple?
No.
Pure Genius?
No.
Ransom?
No.
Oh, Ransom. Ransom was the dude from Vikings, wasn't he?
No, that was Taken.
Right. And Training Day?
Nope. I haven't seen any of those.
Okay, fine. Shows that they renewed, 48 Hours?
Well, of course I watched
60
that.
Minutes,
yes.
Your favorite. The Amazing
Every
Race,
night.
The Big Bang Theory, Blue Bloods, Bull, Black, or Code Black, Criminal Minds, Elementary, which is a great show. Hawaii 5-0, Kevin Can Wait, Life in Pieces, MacGyver, Madam Secretary, Man with a Plan,
what?
Mom, NCIS, NCIS Los Angeles,
wait, MacGyver?
NCIS New Orleans,
did they...
NCIS Albuquerque, NCIS Mexico.
I thought they got rid of MacGyver.
Scorpions, Superior Donuts, and Survivor. Nope, MacGyver's on the list.
Oh, wow. I thought they got rid of that.
They also renewed The Good Fight.
Hmm. Gosh, I don't watch any of those shows.
Here's something crazy, moving on. Giselle Bonantema says that Tom Brady has had several concussions, but he's never reported a single one. And she decided to unleash chaos yesterday on CBS This Morning when she said that. Here's what she said.
As a wife, I'm a little bit, you know, it's, as you know, it's not the most like, let's say, an aggressive sport, right? Football, like he had a concussion last year. I mean, he has concussions pretty much. I mean, we don't talk about, but he does have concussions. And I don't really think it's a healthy thing for your body to go through like a, you know, to that kind of aggression, like all the time, and that could not be healthy for you,
no.
Right? And I'm planning on having him be healthy and do a lot of fun things when we're like 100, I hope.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right, Giselle, because you know what? He said he's going to play till he's 75. And shame on you, NFL. Shame on you. Just a bunch of lies.
Lies! Okay, well, I just don't even know.
The NFL's evil, man.
Okay. You have seen Concussion one too many times.
I'm telling you guys. You guys have to watch that movie.
Here's the thing, though. There's zero record of Brady having a concussion or head injury last year or ever during his professional
career. Yeah, of course. The NFL covered it up.
Well, actually, on the opposite end, the NFL wants to know what Giselle's talking about.
Oh, we don't know what you're talking about, but we're going to investigate.
According to the NFL, quote, there are no records that indicate Mr. Brady suffered a head injury or concussion or exhibited or complained of concussion symptoms. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if he's played through brain injury, not okay.
Yeah.
And if the Patriots knew about it, they are in serious trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. You know they covered that up.
You know. Do you think like she got home and she was like, "Did you see me on the television? Did you see me today?" And he was like, "Babe, oh babe, bro, babe, no, babe, oh babe." He's not going to get to play this year.
Did you see me on the television? Is that how she sounded?
I don't know. Listen to her clip.
I don't think that's how she sounded.
That's how she sounds.
No, listen to her. So.
As a wife, I'm a little bit, you know, it's as you know, it's not the most like. Let's say an aggressive sport, right? Football, like he had a concussion last year. I mean, he has concussions pretty much. I mean, we don't talk about, but he does have concussions. And
of course he does.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Of course he has concussions. And you know what? Sorry.
Yeah.
Pretty soon.
Yeah.
Giselle, you're going to be changing his diaper.
Oh,
that's
my gosh.
That's the reality of it.
Nah. Come on, bro.
I really hope not, but that's the reality of it. He needs to get out now.
We have a very special birthday today, and I almost want to make a phone call. I just don't know if they're with said person.
I'll give it a shot. If it's that big a deal, our show's a train wreck anyways.
Wow. Thanks, bro.
Well, with the fidget spinners. And
you took it away from me. Can I have it back?
Huh?
If I make the show great, can I have it back?
You can have it back after the show, man. It's ridiculous. I'm going to put a sign up in the window that says no fidget spinners allowed. I'm going to have a meeting with Daniel after the show. I already booked it.
Okay.
Who are we calling? Who is this special person?
Her name is Julia Guglia.
Julia Guglia with a titanium spine?
I don't know if she's going to answer. Because it'll be like, what number is this? I don't even know.
It's all right, man.
Is it all right, though? People are supposed
you
to answer
have
the phone.
So
fine.
Who is it?
It's Nola's birthday today.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yay!
Steven's amazing daughter, 4 years old today.
Nice. That's cool.
Her first best bud in the world?
Brody
Dex. Parker.
Oh.
No, Brody,
I've never
dude.
Met her.
Oh, man. Bodie.
Bodie.
I want to see Bodie. I love it, dude. They're like super buds.
That's cool.
It's the best. And they have the same haircut, so they're just best buds for life.
Yeah.
So, yeah. She's 4 today, man! I love
Happy
it.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Nola.
That's cool.
So cool, man. Named after Noka Nola.
Hmm.
Yeah.
You got to call Steven. Nola's with him.
The Japanese soda, not to be confused with Coca-Cola, Noka Nola, originated in Okinawa.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, yeah.
Okay.
That's obviously what she's named after.
I don't know about that.
It's yeah.
Not, it's not true at all.
It's real life, man. We'll ask Steven. He'll tell us the truth.
Steven was supposed to be on the show, but we had to bump him.
We had to bump him. We've got a big show, Shock Therapy Live, and a lot of questions chiming in.
You have reached the
Oh my gosh.
He just texted me.
Fired.
Steven.
Fired. It's okay. We don't need him. People are asking me to make the show great again, man. Dex crying about football, just not doing it for him this morning. People are freaking out.
Steven.
Yes.
There
good morning.
Yes.
Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Really Thanks, excited. Thanks, really excited. I just told the story. I don't know if you're listening to radio. I told the story about how Nola got her name, obviously from your favorite Japanese cola, Noka Nola.
I had no idea.
Originated in Okinawa.
Uh-huh.
Huge fan. In fact, it was a big part of The Karate Kid Part 2, which is Steven's favorite movie of all time.
No kidding?
Yeah, it's the one. Right? And so, super stoked about that. I am a man who will fight. He loves Chicago. See?
Nailing it.
Yeah. So, Noka Nola. It's a Japanese soda drink, and thus named Nola after that, obviously, because there's no other reason why he would name her Nola.
Yeah, right.
Am I right?
No.
But, yes, it's her birthday. She's 4 years old, and she was named after New Orleans, Louisiana, where her mom and I had our first kiss.
Oh, oh gross. Huh. What? That's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the best football team in the entire world, as we all know.
Hang up on him.
We don't talk about football right on the show anymore. Concussions,
no,
people dying.
No, sorry, that's not why. Sorry. It's just that he's talking about the ain'ts, and we ain't about that. Am I right?
Good call.
So, 4 years old, man!
4 years old. Do you want to talk to her?
Yes! Time? Yes, we do.
Okay. Noah. Hi.
Hey.
Hey, Noah. Hi. It's Steve-O.
It's Dex.
No, she doesn't know you.
Hi, nice to meet you. I just waved at you.
Are you so excited? It's your birthday?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. What are you going to do today?
Yes. I have a Moana jetpack.
She has a Moana jetpack. That's what she said.
No way.
Yep.
Are you going to get a pinata?
They don't believe in hitting things in the house.
Oh.
So you just wrecked her. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
What kind of cake are you going to eat?
They don't eat cake, man. Oh. They don't do sugar in their house either. You're asking the wrong question.
Embarrassing.
Gosh. Nola, why is Brody your favorite person on the planet? I mean, let's be real. Just favorite.
Oh, okay. Yep.
See? She just hung up. Mm-hmm.
Say it again.
Yeah. Will you say it again, Dex?
Why is Brody your favorite friend on the planet?
He's fun.
Yeah.
Hey, have a great birthday, okay? Go ahead and kick your dad in the shin for me, okay?
Love you, Nola!
Bye! Happy birthday! Hey, guys, Shock Therapy Live. It's next. It's an hour show with Pastor Nate Heitzik, and we have a special guest joining us as well. And if you have any questions, I know we already have some questions, but if we have time, we'll squeeze them in. You can call us at 338-3700. You can text in at 585-LIVE. Shock Therapy Live is next.
Good morning. The Morning Invasion with Dex and Steve-O.
Oh, seriously depressing, Shock Therapy Live. No really stories to make you cry at Shock Therapy Live. Send callers.
Can we
text us, Shock Therapy Live? Cause we wanna talk to you. We wanna talk to you. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Shock Therapy Live.
It is Shock Therapy Live.
We're kicking
it up. We're going strong.
We're live.
Listen to that intro.
That's
right,
everybody.
Me?
Pastor Nate Heitzik.
That is out with us. Terrible. What? That is awful.
What? We worked so hard on that one.
You didn't work hard at all.
You don't
what are
like
you talking
that
about?
That was, you guys worked like 5 seconds longer than the automated free voice you
are
had last week for the intro.
Dex?
We need a real intro.
Okay.
Fine.
All right.
All
right. How about
give
this
me, give
real
him the real
intro.
One.
The show you've been waiting for, Shock Therapy Live. Shock Therapy Live. Here's your host you've been waiting for, Nate Heitzik. Nate Heitzik.
Welcome to
I'm
the
leaving.
Show.
I'm going away.
No,
Pastor
Nate.
Now.
He just put his headphones down, guys. He's leaving.
I don't know what you're talking about. I feel like these are fantastic. You didn't like that one either?
Nope.
Okay, fine. Right. Dex, what else we got?
All right, let me see here. We got
Shock Therapy Live.
Yeah!
Woo! Pick up the phone and call us right now, cause it's Shock Therapy Live.
I like this.
Beautiful.
This one's good.
Or text the phone line, cause that's
all right.
What we need.
You guys are both
do.
Getting paid in food stamps from now on.
No!
Yep.
These are great.
Government cheese. You're getting paid in government cheese.
We got the answers, Nate Heitzik. Shock Therapy Live.
That's so good, man.
Now, the funny part is you guys actually spend a bit of time on that and it still sucks.
What? Nate? I mean, come on. I mean, we worked so hard, man. We spent a whole day putting together what we assumed, like, he's going to love this one. But if in case you didn't, we had backups.
We got backups.
We have backups.
Shock.
Woo!
Shock. Yeah! Shock.
Uh-huh.
Shock.
Therapy.
Live.
That's kind of a sweeper.
Somehow they're getting worse.
Okay, well.
I've got, this is the thing you guys don't realize this year. I've got this year, today, you guys don't realize I've got backup today now.
Oh.
I've got somebody on my team to help me make fun of you guys and criticize you. I've got Dustin Woodward in the house today.
Yes! Man, good to be here. I'm really excited.
Dude, I'm so stoked.
I mean, Dustin, are you really going to make fun of those intros? I feel like those are kind of
Make fun of you. You particularly.
Oh, thank you. Thank
Let Dustin Nate. Speak for himself.
I won't make fun of the intros. I like the intros.
Thank you so much.
I like Nate too, but I like the intros.
That a boy. I mean, we got more too. We'll play them. We'll play them. We'll spice them in.
Yeah.
People love them. Tell everybody, you know, what church you're at and, you know, a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. Dustin Woodward from Copper Point Church. I'm the associate pastor there. I was the youth pastor for 10 years. My dad's been the senior pastor at the church for, I think, 36 or 37 years. My entire life has been this church.
You know Galen?
I do, a little
bit. That's pretty cool. He's a cool dude.
He's a really cool dude.
That's amazing. I had no idea you guys were related.
Yeah, so it's been really cool, serving under my parents.
Nice. That's legit, dude.
Yeah.
I love it, man.
It's a really cool thing.
So cool.
Dude, I'm really
fun.
Excited to be here.
Calvary really loves Copper Point. We think they're just, you know, doing a great job in the city. And so we were actually at a little kind of conference thing together. And I was like, dude, why don't we do Shock Therapy Live together? And we've been trying to make it work for the past few months. And so I hope that this becomes a regular thing. We can get Dustin in here.
Yeah.
Heck yeah,
and
man.
It's just fun, man. It's just a good time.
Yeah. So before we kick it off, this is an hour of mature subject matter.
What does that mean? Like love
radio
line? Like what are we talking
about?
Like,
I mean, yeah, you Jerry could say love. Like last
are we
week
talking
was...
about like Jerry Springer mature, or
yes.
Dr. Phil
it
mature?
It can't. All I mean, of all of the, I would say, yeah. I agree. Because I'm looking at the live line and we've already gotten so many emails this morning. Guys, we're going to talk this morning about marriage. We're going to talk about adultery. We're going to talk about living a homosexual lifestyle. We're going to talk about how to read the Bible and how important that is in your daily life. We're going to talk about, I mean.
And honestly, we don't really know where the conversation's going.
We don't.
Yeah.
Last week, I mean, this is the kind of stuff, if you've got kids listening right now, now's the time to either decide, hey, I want to have these conversations with my kids, or B, I want to wait a little bit longer, so I'm going to change the channel, because we're going to talk about some mature content. Last week, we talked about kinky sex.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the first time we had ever talked about that on the show, too.
That's true.
Man,
it
was uncomfortable.
I've got a 6-year-old and a 5-year-old. I'm not ready to have that conversation with my kids yet.
Yeah. But it's time. It's
look not
it up.
Time.
Look it up.
It's
not
time.
Look
it
up.
Six. You've
it's
got a couple
time.
Years.
No, man.
But I would say
a couple years.
No,
hey,
seriously.
I'm going to tell you right now, honestly, as a father of boys, 8 years old was when I had the sex talk. Seriously.
Dustin, you've got, how old are your kids?
13-year-old daughter, almost 12-year-old son, 8-year-old son, 4-year-old daughter.
Have you had the talk with all or some of those children?
My wife did with our daughter. Okay. I did with our 12-year-old son when he was 9 or 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting earlier and earlier.
Dude.
Yeah.
But our 8-year-old son is far more aware of everything than our other son, so I'm going to have that convo pretty quick.
Yeah.
It's crazy because anything you take him to now, like any movies, I mean, you try to take him to like
Guardians
of the Galaxy, and it's like that he has sexual feelings, and there's like, what are sexual feelings?
Right.
It's like you can put on Marvin Gaye and have that conversation.
Right.
You know, but it's like, you know, it's just crazy. Yeah. It's everywhere now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Having those conversations.
But that's exactly why we have to have those conversations. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because they're going to hear it. They're going to become curious. And if you're not there to be, just a springboard of like, knowledge and where they can bounce ideas and thoughts off of, they're going to get them from their friends. They're going to get them from somewhere else in culture and, probably not going to get a biblical idea of what that is, which is why for me it was so important. You know, seriously, my boys, when they were 8 and 10 years old, I didn't think I needed to have that conversation yet. And unfortunately it hit me in a funny situation. And
why is it that Christians are scared to talk about this crap? I mean, it seems like Christians are terrified to have these conversations. At least I know growing up when I was in church, it was like there's certain things you just don't talk about in church.
Right.
And I hate that because what happens is we end up forcing our kids into a situation where they're going to get a secular worldview on some of these topics unless we give them a Christian worldview, unless we talk about it in the church.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, I mean, I hate the idea of talking about kinky sex, but I'd rather have my kid hear about that for me and get a biblical worldview on that. Then hear it from his friends who are looking at pornography at school and talking about weird, crazy stuff at school. You know, it's like they're going to get it. They're going to talk about it. So it's like, do we want him to hear about it
from a Christian perspective or from a secular perspective.
Yeah, I completely agree. Yeah. Completely agree.
Yeah. And truth be told, I mean, it's vitally important that we have these conversations and that we have real conversations.
Yes.
Because for us growing up in the church, you're right, they didn't want to talk about it. And so when the topic of sex or something came up, it was just, it's wrong, it's fornication, you're going to go to hell.
Or they just
throw out
an obscure Bible verse and let you wonder about
it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like the marriage bed's undefiled. What does that mean?
What does that mean? I'm nine.
Just shh. The Bible says it. Right. Yeah. Don't talk about it.
Dude, are we ready to jump into this? Because,
I'm
man.
Stoked.
Yeah, so here's the deal. You can call us at 338-3700, which we would totally prefer if you called us.
Yes.
That's 338-3700.
Not only would we prefer, but we're going to take those questions first.
Which,
by the way, you're going to get precedence over the emails or the texts.
Yeah. Somebody did chime in on the live line if we need any more backing on why it's important to have conversations with your kids early. I didn't grow up in a Christian house and started smoking weed at the age of 6.
Wow.
So, yes, have
at
that conversation.
Six?
6 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
6 years old. All right, let's get into this. We
Doesn't
got some very
sense.
Serious questions, right? Here, you know, just going to kick it off light. We got an email. I'm just going to read it.
Is this the question we teased last week?
Yep.
Dude.
A good friend approached me last week with quite the predicament. About 2 months ago, his wife left him because she realized she's gay. She's since moved in with her girlfriend. Well, last week she informed him that she's pregnant. Obviously, it's his because, well, science. Anyway, already broken, he feels like he's been beaten over the head with a bat with this revelation. The woman he's loved and the only girl he's been with since high school leaves him for a chick, but now wants him to have input in parenting alongside her and her new girlfriend. Yesterday, they went to their first ultrasound with the wife and the girlfriend. Before the doctor came in, the conversation of who has more say in decision-making came up. Apparently, the two women have already chosen the boy or girl's names, and they're hyphenating the last name with his wife's maiden name and the new girlfriend's last name, leaving him out entirely. So here's where all the questions come in. He wants to be present in his child's life, but does not know how he can maintain sanity when it's clear it will always be a fight. Does he fight for his rights as a father, or does he step away entirely and let them live out their life?
Wow. Man. Dude, I'm really stoked that we have Dustin here because I think you're going to have some great input and insight on this.
Yeah.
But, you know, we talked about this really briefly last week.
Yeah.
And my first inclination, and I'm excited to hear how you respond to this and what your thoughts are on this, Dustin. But my first inclination is, man, you fight for that kid and you fight as hard as you can. Yeah. I would say you take it to the courts. You try to get joint custody. You try to fight as hard as you can for that child because here's my mentality. You're heartbroken about this and you see this child and you don't want this child to grow up in this home thinking that that's normal.
Right.
But what's going to happen is if you give up rights to that child and you say, you know what, I'm not going to fight for it, I'm just going to let that child live with it, you give up the right to ever have any say in that kid's life, to ever tell that kid, hey, that's wrong, that relationship your moms are in is wrong, that's not okay. You lose all opportunity to do that because you gave up and you pulled out. At least if you fight, even if you lose in the courts, at least you can say someday, hey, I want you to know I fought for you.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't just walk away. I didn't just give up. I fought for you.
Right.
And so my inclination is, man, you fight as hard as you can. You do whatever you can to go through that process would be my first inclination.
Dude, here's what sucks. Too. Immediately we had, you know, multiple people chime in because this was on, do you remember Friends? This was like a scenario-ish on Friends with Ross. And so people are chiming in like, oh, are you sure this is real? This is a friend situation. Here's the deal, man. Life sometimes is freaking messy. And this is actually an email we got from a real human being. So, I don't know. Maybe
what are your
we could be
Justin?
A little more sensitive.
So, first of all, what's awesome about this, the good news is that he doesn't have to fight anything. She would. So they can't hyphenate the name legally without his permission. You know, he doesn't have to fight.
I didn't know that.
Right. So he doesn't have to fight for custody. He has it. He's the biological father. So the good news is he's in the driver's seat. The bad news for the couple, even
with the divorce.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So this is what I have questions about this and you probably know way more about this than me, but obviously, if the child was born before the divorce, I would say, oh, yeah, he has joint custody.
Mm-hmm.
Does it change at all the fact that the child is born after the divorce? She conceived while they were still together.
No. I mean, when you start looking in the legal system, the biological parents, I mean, the buck stops there, period. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're a biological parent, you have to.
Even if it's like a baby mama, you're not married.
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a biological parent, and you are aware of that child's birth. I mean, you have all rights, and you have to give them up to not. So there, he's in the driver's seat in this situation. But I agree with you that he is their hope. I mean, if he's a believer, if he's a Christian, he is this child's hope, whether it's a boy or girl, of growing up and having, you know, the biblical mindset of what family could look like, should look like, and just to be able to be that voice. And again, as of right now, I mean, you picture this child as 3, 4, 5 years old. He has equal custody. I mean, he can have
totally
when he goes and fights for this child, fighting for the child, he's fighting from a place of already having custody. He can get even more
fighting for full custody.
Exactly.
So there becomes a question too. Like, you know, every child therapist would always say that it's best to have mom and dad involved in the life. But here you're in this unique situation. You have a Christian dad and a very not Christian mom and her girlfriend. Would it be better for him to say, hey, we're going to share joint custody? Or do we think we should fight for full custody and get that child out of this, what we would say, worldly, sinful environment entirely? Or should he try to keep this mom involved in this child's upbringing in life?
That's a tough question.
I'll say right now, like within the legal system, especially in the state of New Mexico, because this came in locally. No, it's the mother will have those right. Like she's not doing anything detrimental because within for us as Christians, of course, we're like, well, this is not right, and this relationship is sinful and whatever. And the court's going to go, yeah, okay. I'm sorry. What is she doing? Yeah. What's she doing wrong? It's two women who love each other and they are wanting to provide an amazing home for it. Okay, next. Right. So I don't think you can try and fight for full custody when she hasn't, you know, there's nothing in there that's like, she's a drug addict and she's crazy. And sadly, it's like, no, she just chose to be with this woman instead and they're divorced and it's a terrible situation, but for the rest of that child's life, that is that child's mom.
But right. Part of me also thinks, I don't know, I agree that based on what we're looking at there, yeah, it's going to be hard to get full custody. But at the same time, man, lawyers are sneaky, sneaky, sneaky. Mm. You know what I mean? If I were in the situation, I was the dad and that happened, I would try to hire a lawyer that could try to find something to sink his teeth into to be like, look, this isn't a good home to grow up in, either the job or some kind of – I would try to find something to get full custody of that kid personally.
At the same time though, because she's with another woman doesn't make her a bad person. You know, she could be a good mom. You know what I'm saying? So taking away the child from its mom, I don't know. That's tough.
I don't know that I'd take it away from. I don't think I'd take it away from the idea of visiting and having visitation rights and things like that. But as far as the home that child's going to grow up in, if it was my kid, I wouldn't want my child spending half of its time in a home with two moms and getting that worldview that's acceptable, okay.
What stinks is that's the fact of it right now. You know what I mean? And going back, let me clarify something because somebody chimed in and said, are you sure that the baby's his? Because divorces aren't a quick process. So I went back and I've been rereading the entire email and nowhere in the email actually does it say that they are divorced?
They're just separated.
We're kind of assuming that because it says about 2 months ago she left him because she realized she's gay. She moved in with her girlfriend. Last week she informed him she's pregnant, but nowhere in this email does it say ex-wife or that they are divorced or anything like that. So
this is actually a lot more common thing than I think we even believe.
Right.
I can't go into all the details, but we have a similar situation in our family with my wife and just some different things in the past and what she had to deal with an ex and stuff. And here's the deal. A lot of times, even when it's someone who's going into a homosexual relationship or just an unhealthy heterosexual relationship outside of marriage, a lot of times people live in this alternate reality that they can keep all of it together and everybody can be buddies and we can all co-parent the whole time and everything's just going to be fine and great. And that's the delusion, and that's what is really dangerous. It's even more divisive in a child's mind to think something like that, to where we can all just be roommates and buddies. It's a pretty dangerous thing. This is where I get excited about the church, because when you have an absent mom, or let's say they do have joint custody, and the child is with the dad. What's awesome about the church is this child's not necessarily without a mom figure, because that's when the family of God comes together. And that's something we've seen a lot in our church. I'm sure in your church, when there's a parent not picking up you know, their responsibility. You see other people, other parents, other role models pick it up. That's the power of youth ministry. That's the power of church. So that's the hope that this guy would have if he's listening, is in this season more than ever, you better get plugged into a local church and depend on godly influences, godly women to help raise your kid.
And man, make sure that your walk with God is strong. Mm-hmm. It is firm, because man, you're going to be tested.
Right.
It's going to be hard. You're going to go through it. And I would say this, one godly parent is stronger than two ungodly parents.
Yeah.
So you know, we think, man, what's it going to be like for this child growing up, two different homes, you know, a broken family? One sold out parent for Jesus can be stronger of an influence in a child's life than two parents who are together that aren't living for Jesus. They're lukewarm.
My wife, her ex-husband left her and the kids. The three older kids are not my biological. And he left her for a very unhealthy lifestyle. And she was a single mom for a couple years, and I watched that. I watched her lean on the church. I watched her lean on God like she'd never been. And we became friends in that season. And it is crazy to see what leaning on God and leaning on the church can do for you. And it's an amazing thing.
338-3700 if you'd like to call in, or you can text us at 505-585-LIVE. It's Shock Therapy Live.
Yeah.
And Pastor Nate Heitzik hanging out with us. And just a reminder that this is, we're talking about some mature subject matter. So if you have kids right now, and I know we have a lot of homeschoolers that listen to the show. If you're a parent listening right now, it's your decision.
What does that mean? Homeschoolers like don't talk about stuff like this?
Yeah,
like,
what is that? I mean, well,
kids are in school. You're a lot of homeschoolers. You're homeschooled, so.
Kids are in school right now.
Earmuffs.
Except if you're homeschooled. So.
Except if you're homeschooled.
Yeah. Wow. Hey, man, they come in all the time. Seriously.
What comes in all the time?
The homeschoolers, they text in and they come in and
they just come in like they break down the door like, ah, I'm a
they have homeschool tours, man. They come in and they're everywhere and you're like, oh my gosh, there's the kid with the mullet is a homeschooler. Sorry, I just totally stereotyped homeschooler kids.
Oh man.
It's homeschool kids.
It's bad. So I just to recap, our answer to that question would be, you don't have to fight. You have rights, as you said. You know, the ball's in
your
court.
Right.
Fight spiritually.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. Fight it with prayer. And then, I don't know, maybe I come in a little bit more worldly. I'm like, I want to win. I'm like, man, I would fight for, you know, the rights you have, keep those, but I would fight for as much custody as you can. I would talk to a lawyer and say, hey, what ground do I have here? How much custody can I legally get without being a jerk? You know,
that's the situation I was in, and that's what we had to do, is it's a fine line. You don't want to intentionally hurt that other person,
That's it.
The other parent,
right.
But you're trying to find the fine line of the ethical boundaries of knowing it's going to be safer in my home, but I don't want to intentionally hurt this person who still could have a reconciled life.
That's so fantastic.
Still be a Christian in that situation.
And that's it, because I this is going to sound weird and off topic, but I was reading an article in GQ last week with Brad Pitt, and he was talking about this very thing, because him and Angelina Jolie for like the last year have basically been building up this case to destroy each other in court. And he said, in court, no one wins. It's just a matter of who loses more.
Right.
And thankfully they were able to come together and go, dude, we're seriously destroying each other in front of our children, and we're still mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
And they found a way to amicably like put the courts completely out of it. So I agree, like, you still first and foremost are a follower of Christ, and if we truly believe in his love and grace and mercy and compassion for all, right? Like,
right.
I know, dude, trust me, I can't even fathom the situation, like how broken he must be over this, because this is the woman that he's loved for most of his life, and the resentment he probably feels to God as well, because he is a believer and serving in his church, and all of a sudden it's like, wait, what? I've been faithfully doing this, and this is the hand I'm dealt?
Mm-hmm.
I know that can creep in, and it can be very, very difficult. But man, imagine the testimony that will be for your child if you can maintain peace and joy and man, sacrifice and love for not only your child, but now your ex, and what that will show people goes a billion miles.
I think
it's so hard.
I lean more towards, you know, kind of in the middle. I would say, you don't want to intentionally try to hurt this other spouse, but at the same time, I wouldn't say, well, that just means I'm going to lie idly by. I still think you fight for as much legal custody as you can get, because you ultimately at that point, you care about the child more than what I would say you care about this ex-spouse who's living with this relationship. You still care about them with the love of Christ, but when that child comes into play, you care more about that child's upbringing and for me, the godly influence that child should have in its life.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, you know, as much as you can fight for without intentionally harming and trying to hurt this other this other family.
Right.
I think you fight for that.
It's such a tricky situation. I mean, in all angles, because they're so specifically individualized.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot.
You really need to talk to a lawyer. I mean, ultimately, you need to lawyer up. You need to talk to a lawyer, get legal counsel, and say, look, what ground do I have? Where can I go? And you know what? There are a lot of Christian lawyers out there who deal with situations like this that you're like, man, I don't have enough money to hire a lawyer. Talk to some Christian agencies. I don't know of any. Do you know any locally that do that, that specialize in that?
It's not necessarily a Christian agency. We just have a lawyer in our church who's a Christian man who gave us really good insight on the ethical lines. And we really appreciated that. So
yeah. So get plugged into your local church, wherever you're at, whatever church you're going to. If you don't have a church, you know, check out Copper Point, check out Calvary. And I guarantee you there's resources that church has wherever you're at that they can say, hey, talk to this lawyer. We've got a guy who goes to the church, or they can plug you into. There's a lot of pro bono Christian firms that do specialize in things like this, not just locally but internationally,
right?
Yeah. And you know, throughout the United States, there's law firms that do this.
Liveline's blowing up.
I was just gonna get to this, dude. I'm glad.
Yeah, and I think because we're talking about homosexuality,
yes,
a lot of people are chiming in and they're asking this question: does your church allow gay people?
Here's why: because we've gotten so many. One says, "Why are you guys dehumanizing homosexual people?" One person says, "This is very serious. Do you allow gay people in your church?" Another said, "I can't even believe this is a topic right now. Just because a child has a gay mom or to spend time with gay parents doesn't mean they will be influenced as such. Assuming such a thing seems very ungodly. Oh my gosh, I listen to you guys every day, but topics like this remind me this is a Christian station and I can't get behind the way you're talking about the homosexual lifestyle." So I think it would be important to, because I mean, we did a series here, Jesus Loves People, and one of them was, you know, Jesus loves homosexuals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I think it's very important to address that, because so many are chiming in on that. So,
yeah, you know, for us, there's a mentality, and I want to point out too, we're speaking from a Christian worldview.
Amen.
And so the mentality we're speaking from is we're calling what the Bible calls sin, sin. We're calling what the Bible calls good, good. And that's the mindset we're approaching from. And so when it comes to the question, do we allow homosexuals in our church? Well, yeah, we do, because the church is a hospital for hurting people. It's a place for broken people. So we would allow homosexuals to come to our church just as much as we would allow someone who's living in a relationship outside of marriage with a heterosexual relationship. We would allow them to come to our church. We would allow someone who is addicted to drugs to come to our church. We'd allow somebody who lies and steals to come to our church. Now, where we draw the line is, where do we allow people in service in the church and in leadership in the church? Well, that changes, you know, and for me, all sin is level at the foot of the cross. Homosexuality isn't any worse than any other sin. Sin is level at the foot of the cross, and the church is for sinners, for people to come and deal with their sin. And we don't want them to stay that way. And so what I would say is, just this last weekend, I saw a couple different homosexual couples, and it was incredible to see as they came to our church, the pastors and the greeters show them love just like they would anyone else who stepped through the doors of that church. Now, ultimately, at some point, whether it's through a small group or through a message on the weekend, they're going to get confronted with their sin. We're not going to hide it. We're not going to say, well, you know, we want to just be ecumenical and not talk about sin because there's people in our church who are sinners. We don't want to offend them. Again, we're going to teach the Bible. And at some point during that process, they're going to get confronted with what the Bible says about their lifestyle. And at that point, they either have the choice to say, well, okay, I know the Bible says that, but I'm going to continue living the way that I want to live, and I don't care about that. They can do that. They can either get offended and leave and say, well, that offends me, I'm not going to come to the church anymore. Or they can decide that, hey, the lifestyle I'm living isn't biblical, and so I'm going to change the lifestyle I'm living. They have really three options within that scenario. But are they allowed to come to the church? Yeah. And so that would be kind of my take on that.
Here's the good news: is everybody is confronted at some point by the Bible.
Yeah,
I mean, my toes get stepped on every single week. And we're the same way. I mean, we get emails and calls all the time. I'm sure you guys do too. I'm gay. Am I welcome at your church? And the answer is always absolutely yes.
Yeah.
You are always, always, always welcome. This is a huge topic for me. I've always been very, very, very deeply compassionate for especially young men, because that's who I have mentored when I was the youth pastor, but young men who have struggled with same-sex attraction. And every situation is so uniquely different. When I first became a youth pastor, I was basically a moron on this topic and said extremely things that I regret. I mean, even in meetings and counseling me, I look back and I just think, how could I have done that with the absence of so much love? And it's hard. I think so much of this is for a young man or a young woman is defining homosexuality. Is a thought, is a same-sex attraction thought homosexuality? No.
Yeah.
Am I a homosexual because I look at someone of the same sex and I felt something sexual? No. The biblical definition of homosexuality is acting on it, right?
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of it too is a matter of identity. There's so much to it.
Yeah.
But one of the things that is real big for me is what we're talking about. Like, we can't put homosexuality on an island and call it, you know, and it's, this is, you actually spoke against this, which is good. We can't call it like a monster sin. Yeah. Like, it's off on this island by itself. We've had questions, well, can we allow this person to do this in the church or do that in the church? And we can't just say that about homosexuality. What about the people who are, you know, having sex outside of marriage and living together and they've accepted Christ and they're trying to figure it all out? And so we just always say, hey, every time you kind of allow it to go on an island, you just pull it back in, like what you said, and say, hey, this is just something we continually need to talk about. The Bible is very clear. But these are people that have real emotions, real hearts. I mean, you know, quote unquote, good people, nice people. But we just need to be very compassionate. And that's where I'm at for sure. Yeah. I know that's where you're at too.
Yeah. And at the same time, we can't look at a sin, any sin, and just excuse it and say, right. Well, because our culture begins to accept it, exactly. Then now we can take it out of the sin boat. And well, that's not sin anymore. We don't get to make that decision. We call what the Bible calls sin. And if you have an issue with what we're saying, you really have an issue with what the Bible says. Mm. And so, we can never get to a place where we just excuse sin and say, well, it's okay. You can keep living that lifestyle and it's fine. There's no issue with that. And again, we would take this precedence, not just with homosexuality, with any sin. At some point, if someone came and said, hey, I'm living with my girlfriend, we're having sex, is that okay? Well, no, it's not. Not because we don't think it is, but because we're ascribing to a biblical worldview what the Bible says is sin. And so, you know, it's there is a realization when we come to that we're talking about what the Bible says, not about our own personal viewpoint on that.
338-3700 if you'd like to call in, or you can text the live line 505-585-LIVE. Good morning. You there?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing all right. Hey, I actually have a very similar situation to the guy that you just got the email from. My wife recently, or I guess ex-wife at this point, recently left me for a woman also. We don't have a child in that situation, but I just want to echo what you guys have said in one sense, that you have to dive into the church. I mean, I had to do that. I've been having to do that. I've been meeting with one of my pastors on a regular basis since then. But one of the questions that I have, I guess the question that kind of moves forward from that is in reference to future relationships. I still have the desire to be married. I still have the desire to pursue a woman in a godly marriage relationship. And I don't really know how to do that moving forward without bringing in crazy amounts of baggage that person's going to have to deal with, or just making that so much more difficult for them. And I also don't really know how to trust somebody again after all of this situation. So what advice would you guys have for moving forward in life after something like this happens?
Well, this is Dustin speaking. My wife walked through something similar to what you're walking through right now. And what you're doing right now is the healing that you're going to need. Leaning on your pastor, leaning on church, being able to talk through it and get it out. But the whole key to moving forward, and it's so much easier said than done, is to constantly every day have the mindset that I am tying my identity to God, not my identity onto a future relationship, not my identity onto fear, but you just tie that identity onto God every single day in studying the Word. I know some of this sounds cliche, but in these moments, it's the farthest thing from. When you're in the Word, when you're in prayer, when you're in worship, when you're seeking godly counsel, all of those things are bringing so much more healing than you even believe right now for the long run. There will be a day where you are your own person again, where you are who you are supposed to be with God completely. You're going to be healed, and there's always going to be little things that pop up. But my wife and I have a great marriage. And yes, there have been a couple things that popped up and insecurities here and there. That's normal, but it's healthy, very healthy. No more insecurity than you would have, you know, just having a breakup before you were married.
So
there is so much hope for you, so much hope for you in the future, and you're doing the right things, it sounds like.
And then I would say too, honesty and transparency. When you get into a relationship with another girl, be honest and transparent with her, because look, guys are jealous. Like we naturally have this struggle, and I would say girls as well in a relationship, you're jealous, and that's biblical as well, by the way, to be jealous for your spouse, to be jealous for your partner. You know, God has a jealous love for us. And so I would also though have that transparent conversation with your future girlfriend and say, look, my ex-wife, she left me for a female. And so, you know, right now, like if my wife, I'm a jealous husband. And so if my wife, we're watching a show and there's like a hot guy on the show, she's like, she says something that triggers something in me because I'm a jealous husband. But I've never had that same feeling if my wife's talking to a girl, for instance. I've never been like, hey, why were you talking to that girl? Because I don't think my wife struggles with homosexuality. Now, if it came out and my spouse were to leave me for a girl, well, then the next girl that I was with, I might have a situation where I'm like, hey, why are you talking to that girl? Because now it's triggered something where now I'm jealous if she's talking to anybody, boy or girl, because I don't know. And so I think having that honest conversation with that next girl that you get into a relationship with and saying, look, I want you to know that this is where I came from. And so there's going to be insecurities that I have that other guys you might have dated before don't have. But here's why it happens. And I want you to call me on it. I want you to have that ability and voice in my life that you can call me on that in the future and say, hey, look, I am for you. I am 100% for you. There's nobody else. And you got to remind your spouse that. Even if you haven't had an insecure relationship, I think it's important to, on a daily basis, remind your spouse that, hey, I am for you, 100% for you. I only have eyes for you. You know, I think it's important that your spouse, that your partner knows that. And so I think you've got to have that transparent conversation with that next person that you get into a relationship with.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Definitely.
Thank you for calling.
I have one follow-up question, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So one of the things I've also struggled with in all of this is at what point, excuse me, at what point does it become giving up on reconciliation that God might bring even after the divorce is final? I mean, I've heard stories of people 5-10 years down the road and God reconciles their relationship. Mm-hmm. At what point is it giving up on that? I don't know how to reconcile the desire for reconciliation and the desire for marriage in my life. So,
yeah, and I'll take a stab at this, and then I'll pass it off to Dustin. I think that you push and you push for reconciliation up until the point where you realize that pushing is doing the opposite of drawing them closer, and it's actually pushing them further away. And I would say this is true within a relationship, a marriage relationship, or, you know, talking to parents who their kids have walked away from the Lord. You pursue, you pursue, you pursue until you realize that your pursuit is not bringing them closer to you, but it's pushing them further away from you. At that point, you give them to God and you put them in God's hands. And I would take this from a biblical standpoint of as you go to a village, if that village pushes you away, if they don't want to hear the message that you have, you shake the dust off your sandals and you walk away from that village and you kind of leave them in their unbelief to a certain extent.
Right.
And so I would say you pursue that reconciliation with your ex-wife up until a point where you realize that what you're doing is just pushing her further away rather than drawing her closer. And I don't know the whole story, but it sounds like that point has probably already been reached. If you guys have a divorce, she's officially living with this other girl. It sounds like any shot at reconciliation, not that there's nothing possible with God, but it sounds like those reconciliation steps have already been taken in the past. And her response to that has not been to come closer to you and go to a counselor, you know, get biblical counseling, get marriage counseling, but rather for her to divorce you and to now live in a relationship with another woman. It would sound from that like you've taken those steps. And now, personally, I would say you got to leave it to God's hands. And I don't know how effective it would be at this point to continue reaching out to her and trying to reconcile.
Yeah, I like what you said about putting it into God's hands. I know I keep on referencing our story, but it's so similar. My wife, worked on this for 4 years. I mean, 4 years of hope. And her dad is a pastor. She was on staff at a church. Another pastor spoke into her life, and then even other mentors. And it finally got to the place where she had kids, but there was so much damage being done to her, the kids, the home, that the godliest influences in her life with scripture in hand said, hey, it's time. And I think you just lean on godly counsel, lean on the word of God, and make your decisions from there.
Yeah.
How's that, buddy?
Thanks, guys.
You bet, man. Thanks for calling in. 338-3700. Phone lines are open. We got about 18 minutes left of Shock Therapy Live.
We opened the marriage floodgates. Tough question on the same topic. About 6 months ago, my wife left me for a dude who was also married. A friend of mine saw her at church with the married guy, and they have joined back onto the worship team there. I've been told she's telling people that we got divorced because our marriage just didn't work out. Do I have any responsibility to contact someone there and let them know what's actually going on with her, or is it none of my business at this point?
Man, I would say yes, you do owe a responsibility, because I found, at least serving as a pastor at a church, this has happened to us a lot, where we have someone come from one church and they run away from something that got them either disfellowship from that church or had them step down in ministry from that church, and they come here seeking a new start mm-hmm. without ever having dealt with the process with their original church
right.
of dealing with the sin in their lives. Mm-hmm. You know, when a church disfellowships someone or asks them to step down from ministry, the biblical standpoint for them to get back in ministry is to go through a reconciliation process with that church and that relationship. And so this has happened to us a lot before. We have someone, we would call them a wolf in sheep's clothing, and they come on, they get involved, they start serving, and then we find out later on, either because a pastor from that church calls us or someone from that church comes and sees that person in ministry and says, hey, just so you know, you've got a wolf in the flock, and they have not gone through a reconciliation process at their church. They've been disfellowshipped, and the way biblically to go back into fellowship is through the church that they were disfellowshipped from. And so I think you do owe it to that church, and even more so than the leadership, to the flock of that church, you owe the pastor a phone call to say, hey, this is the situation. Do with it what you will. Ultimately, it's between you and God what you decide to do with it, but here's the situation that you should be aware of.
Yeah, I think that's good. And you hit on this. I mean, avoid getting intertwined in drama and so many people. I mean, I think it's good if there's a person to tell.
Yeah.
But even saying, you know, should I tell the church? A lot of times, you know, people think, well, that means I should tell as many people as possible in that church.
Yeah.
And that's also extremely damaging.
Agreed.
And unbiblical, because you're setting that person up for failure, the church up for failure. Be very strategic. I mean, our job as Christians is to cause the least amount of damage as possible, to be concise, gracious, again, loving. But if something like that is happening in those exact details, sure. I mean, tell the right person, research who that is, tell the right person. And at that point, you get it off your hands and you walk away. And I think that's the best thing, is just not to get involved in the drama of other churches, other people's lives, especially when it's so sensitive like that.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree. I think, again, when we say tell the church, tell the leadership of the church, yeah, of the situation. We had a situation like this with actually a worship leader who we had someone here on staff, and they ended up going through a divorce, and one of the people in the relationship was unfaithful to the other, and they decided to try to go to other churches and tell a different story and say, oh, well, you know, my wife did this and said these things, and actually turn it to make it look like the wife was at fault and that he was in the right situation to divorce his wife and be with this other girl, and really crazy situations that happen through that whole scenario. Well, we as a church had walked with this couple through 6 months of counseling, knew everything in that relationship.
Wow.
And so we as the church felt the biblical duty to call that church's pastor and say, hey, just so you know, this is the story you've been told by this guy who's now leading worship at your church. That's not the situation. This guy is actually living in an ungodly relationship. He had no biblical grounds for divorce, yet he divorced his wife anyways. And you know, ultimately at that point, we're not the stewards of that person, that we're not called to hound that pastor every week and say, hey. We told him. And then if he chooses to follow the biblical grounds and talk to his worship pastor at that point and say, hey, this is what I heard, what's going on, awesome. If not, that's between him and God, not between us and God.
Mm-hmm.
And so we again inform the leadership and let the leadership take it from there.
Yep.
585 Live, you want to text into the show? It's Shock Therapy Live, and a lot of people are chiming in, I know, and a bunch of questions. I know we have a bunch that are back. We got some last week.
Yeah,
let's
hit, yeah, because this one's come in the last couple weeks for Shock Therapy. My husband's been clean from cocaine and alcohol addiction for about a year now. Unfortunately, he's moved on to pornography. She says, I pray every night and even pray over the phone that he looks at the porn on. How else can I tackle this? I don't know what to do anymore.
Man, the biggest thing with any addiction, pornography, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, is accountability. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, you can't be his accountability partner because you're his wife. You can be his partner and you can hopefully help him work through those things. But as far as an accountability person that he can talk to and be honest with, you can't be that because he's never going to be able to have that transparency right. that you get in bed at night. Hey, do you look at porn tonight, honey? Well, of course he's going to say no because he cares about his relationship. He doesn't want to lose that relationship. And so he's terrified to have that transparency with his wife. He's got to have a guy in his life, ideally yeah. a group of guys in his life that right. he can be accountable and transparent with and to.
And there's obviously something deeper because we talk about the idea that, you know, we all search before we come to Christ. We all search and we all try and fill that void in, yep. in our heart with something.
Yeah.
Whether it's sex or alcohol or food. It could be anything that we just try and we fill our life mm-hmm. with to try and be complete. And it sure sounds like he just does not. He's not complete in Christ. Like he doesn't have an identity. So he's trying to find that identity in different things. It's like, oh, he got out of cocaine. Great. He got out of alcohol. Now he's on porn. And it's like,
you see that a lot with addicts.
There's a much deeper issue there than just like, oh, he just likes looking at chicks.
And we were talking about this a little bit before as well. The likely reality is he's probably always had a pornography addiction and you probably just didn't know about it until now. I mean, usually guys who struggle with pornography or struggle with sex addiction, it's something they've had for a long time. I know for a long time I struggled with a pornography addiction. It was something that I struggled with since I was in junior high school. The first time I saw, you know, a friend bring a picture of a naked girl. And the likelihood is that that's always been a struggle for him. It was just something you didn't know about up until this point.
It's more isolated now because maybe the drug addiction is past.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Right. It wasn't necessarily a focus.
There's a lot of steps you can encourage him to take. Ultimately, again, we talk about relying on the church. This is one of those areas you really got to rely on your church. This is why we believe small group fellowship right. is so important in a church, because this is the kind of stuff you work through with your small group. There's got to be people in your life you can call at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, hey, I'm struggling. Can you pray for me?
And there's so many churches that have specific ministries for addiction.
Yeah.
And it kind of, you know, it's a little bit humbling to step into one of those ministries, but man, that feeling of being humbled a little bit pales in comparison to the damage of what could be done if you don't get the help and accountability.
Exactly. But you got to be willing to put those safeguards in your right. life. You know, there's some great even online resources. Triple X Church is a great right. online resource for people who struggle with that. There's great software through Triple X Church you can download on your phone, your computers, that anytime you look at a somewhat questionable site, it'll email that incident to your accountability group. You can have like three guys on there that they get an email. And I've got guys in the church who have that accountability with. And if they visit a questionable site, I can call them and say, hey, I saw you visit this site. What's going on?
I still get emails, monthly yeah. updates from guys that I'm holding accountable that exactly. say, hey, they didn't look at anything this month.
And you call them, hey, good job this month. You didn't yeah. do it. Great. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, by the way, within that as well, the positive affirmation of encouraging when they mm-hmm. didn't look at it is just as important as the negative when they do look at it. So I think it's important to have that accountability. So there's those safeguards you can put up. What I would encourage him to do is to find those safeguards, to get plugged into the church. If he doesn't have any godly men in his life, get some godly men in your life through men's groups at your church, through small groups at your church. Find those godly men and be accountable to them.
And I would also say this for the spouse, because I just... my heart grieves, yeah. right? Yeah. Because of course she's like, I'm praying over his phone and I'm right. doing all these things. You are not doing anything wrong, because we are all human beings. And I think sometimes you see these broken marriages, you see these addictions, and the spouse that is there like praying for them and loving them through it, you know, they carry this burden of like, what did I do wrong?
Right.
What am I not fulfilling that's causing this mm-hmm. other person to turn to cocaine or turn to alcohol or turn to porn, whatever it is. And you've got to remove that weight, because that's not on you.
That's so good. Yeah. I mean, in the same way the addict is forming his identity around whatever he's addicted to,
right.
a spouse can, if we're not careful, can start forming an identity around what they did wrong.
Exactly.
And then their spouse's pain and addiction. And so it's the same thing. And a lot of times in those situations, it's really both parties really need a support system and accountability to remind us that our identity isn't in this. It's right. in God. A lot easier said than done.
And there might be, right. you know, you as the spouse might not be doing anything wrong, but there might be pitfalls in your relationship, communication pitfalls, that aren't helping the situation. So I would say, in addition to him getting, you know, counseling and accountability, I think it'd be good for you as a couple to go have marriage counseling together and talk about your relationship and talk about communication. You know, I found in the hard patches in my life when I was struggling with sin, there was also things that were wrong in my marriage at the same point.
Right.
And there was things that I need to work out in my relationship and have conversations with my spouse about why our communication was breaking down. And it might not have been her fault. It might have been my fault, but it still needed to be addressed. And so I think there's probably a very good case for you guys working through some of this stuff in marriage.
Yeah, you might need to learn how to be intimate with your wife or your husband. Sometimes it's couples, they don't know how to, you know, or
and not just intimate, the wife. Sexually intimate, emotionally, and relationally.
Yeah, could be all.
Yeah,
that's great. Dude.
We got a few more, and I'm trying to like get through them because I know we only have a couple minutes left. So here's a quick question about suicide. I know it's wrong, but is it possible in those last seconds before someone kills themselves, if they repent and are saved, do they go to heaven? Or do all people who commit suicide go to hell?
Yeah, I want to be really careful as we talk about this because I've had a lot of people ask me this question who are suicidal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And what they want is they want assurance that, hey, I really just want to end my life and I want to kill myself.
Yeah.
And then I want to go to heaven, but I want to make sure that when I kill myself, I'm not going to go to hell.
Right.
So a lot of people ask it, and it's an enabling question.
And this is a big topic right now because of 13 Reasons Why and all that. I mean, it's a big topic.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to start out by saying, ultimately, you run a risk. Now, I'm going to take my biblical standpoint of what I believe on this, but ultimately, you don't know, because I can't talk to anybody who's committed suicide. I can't go talk to Judas and say, hey, Judas, you know, you hung yourself on a tree. Did you go to heaven or hell? You know, you lived a messed up life, but there's also possible signs that you repented, that you took that change back and you threw it before the Pharisees. So there's signs that you might have repented, but you committed suicide. Did you go to heaven or hell? Ultimately, we don't know. Now, what we do know is that all sin is forgivable. And we also, you know, depending on what side of the theological scale you fall on this, I believe in an idea that once saved, always saved, that true repentance leads to true forgiveness regardless of what happens. So I believe an idea that once you're in the hand of God, you can't be snatched out. So I believe that that's the case no matter what sin you've committed. You know, Christ forgave the thief on the cross right before he died. He was hanging on the cross and he was, today you will be with me in paradise. He lived a crazy bad life, but Christ forgave him at the very end.
Yeah, I like what you're saying. I mean, if all sin is equal, then what happens if you lie and then get in a car accident and die?
Exactly. Right.
So, I mean, it's one of those things for me. I mean, I've wrestled with this. We had a student commit suicide when I was the youth pastor, and I went into a season of like big time study on this, and I was just mourning over it. And it is. It's a very tricky. I have a very hard time saying this is what it is. I mean, we just don't know, like what you said. The hope we had, again, no one should be looking for permission to commit suicide. I mean, if that's you, I mean, obviously, if you're thinking about it, you need to stop right now and find someone and start communicating that so you can have someone help you. But the truth of the matter is, I mean, I look at Samson's story. This is one that comes up, and that's in essence suicide. And then he's listed in Hebrews as being in heaven,
the hall of faith. Yeah,
the hall of faith. Again, it's not like he wasn't in the hall of faith for committing suicide.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's not what we're saying, but that's where it's tricky. But then you got someone like Judas, and you're like, Judas in heaven?
And it's funny, I've heard pastors argue both ways.
Right. And so it's just a tricky thing, and that's why I have a hard time saying this is what it is. But what I do know, and what you mentioned, is, yeah, if you're in the hand of God, a sin is not going to snatch you out. It's not going to do it. I mean, absolutely. And so I think it just, again, every situation is so individualized.
Yep.
Where is your heart? What is happening? I mean,
I think you got to trust that God can work through your story.
Absolutely.
And I think what happens is a lot of times people commit suicide, they come to a point where they don't believe that their story can be effective anymore, whatever that story is. And they view that they have no way out of the situation they're in, and their only path forward is to take their life.
Right. I was doing a funeral one time, someone who committed suicide, and one of the distant relatives came up to me and said, you do know that this is like, you know, a sentence to hell, and you need to say that so other people don't do this. And I looked back at him and said, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say either way.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to say that because you're not God. I'm not God. And when the Bible says don't judge, that's the specific topic that it's talking about. Like, don't judge people's eternities because you're not God.
And by the way, the only sin that the Bible talks about as an unforgivable sin is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And suicide isn't the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. You know, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is not allowing the Holy Spirit to do his job within your life. Right. And the Holy Spirit's job is to convict people of sin, to draw them to repentance. And if we never allow that process to happen in our life, mm-hmm. that's the only sin we can't be forgiven of, because we're not asking for forgiveness of the sin in our lives.
And to be clear, we are saying suicide is a sin.
It is.
Absolutely.
Yeah, very much so.
It is, for sure. But we just don't know.
So what I would say to someone who's thinking about that, realistically, I wouldn't do it, number one, because it's displeasing in the sight of the Lord. And Paul said to live is Christ, to die is gain. There's always going to be a time where you say, man, I just want to be in heaven. I just want to be done with this. But you got to believe your story is of worth. You got to believe that you can still be used by God. To live is Christ. Allow Christ to work in your life. Don't give up on your life. And don't give up on the people in your life. Because, man, if there's anything that's selfish, suicide is a selfish decision.
Mm. Yep.
And so don't make that decision for yourself. Think about the people that could still be impacted by your story.
Right.
And the people that you could still bring to heaven with you before you die.
The pain you're feeling, don't inflict onto others.
Yeah.
Dustin?
Yes, sir.
Dude, thank you for coming in,
man. Thank you for having me.
Dude, it was awesome. This was
so
great.
Good.
Pastor Nate Heitzik, amazing. Thank you so much.
Hey, maybe next week we can have a real intro.
Okay. Yeah. We can do that.
We'll get right on.
We still have like 10 more to play for you. All right, we're done with the show. If you missed any of it, hit the podcast. It's on demand. It'll be up here in just a little bit. You can get the app. You can download it right there in the App Store, Star88FM. Or go to our website at star88.fm. We'll see you tomorrow.
That's all we got. There ain't no more. Time is tight. It's the end of the show.